You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hockey fans, are you ready to brave the wild with me, your host, Paladino Joey, or Joey Owygen? Brave the Wild is available on all of your favorite podcasting apps and also, of course, on the Hockey Podcast Network. I thank Dylan and Kyle once and always for having me on board that great network. Today, well, it's going to be a little different, and of course, I gave a little hint to that in the last episode. Joining me once again is the legend, Derek Felska.
Man, you keep calling me a legend. That's so that you raise the bar so high, and I feel like I bring it down so low.
No,
I'm glad to be here, Joey. It's always fun, and I don't know. We've kind of made it a little bit of an annual thing on spring break. I think we've done it for 2 years now.
Yeah, so, sorry for cutting you off. Going into like 2021, I think we've been doing it every year. I think it's been, or even 2020, it's been a bit.
Okay, awesome.
Oh, yeah, I think it started during that, when everything was dead, but then we still had some fun talking hockey 2020.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and we had that massive State of the Wild in 2002,
that
big
that
one.
Yeah.
That was a biggie. it still like shows the record of it up here. But, what do you think? Today's a great day for baseball, huh? It's also season opener.
It's also a great day for the NCAA men's hockey tournament to begin.
Yes, yep. It's a better fit, right?
at least for this show, it's a much better fit. But opening day of baseball. I know some people get pretty amped for that, and the only thing is that it's like I always like to tell people, it's 162 game season.
Yeah, yep.
Like one game doesn't seem like it's that big of a deal.
Yep, all that. They're like, oh, well, we lost, but but then the next, we're going to win the next eight or something, hopefully. Mm-hmm. The Yankees-type teams. Yeah, like mainly my crack about great day for baseball is how it's like, 18 degrees or something right now?
Oh, yeah. Muscles might be a little bit stiff for the pitchers a little bit.
Oh my God, that's scary. Good thing the Twins start on the road every year. Oh.
I'm sure they welcome that.
Oh yes, yep. The dome is long gone.
Yep.
Old Metrodome. So on today's show, we're gonna kind of get into a various couple of things. We're gonna talk about Brock Faber a bit. Obviously, general wild season talk, as we like to do. We're gonna get into the prospects, look into the Gophers and NCAA tournament a bit. We're not. This isn't going to be hard and heavy into the NCAA tournament, but we're going to acknowledge it, and it's a lot of fun every year. I mean, I really look forward to this. I always get that Blades of Steel, like the tournament song in my head when I see that bracket.
Yeah, I guess I kind of hear now in my head, for whatever reason, like NHL 94, because NHL 94, you only get the bracket. You can't play a season. Mm-hmm. You can just play a Stanley Cup tournament, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm seeing the bracket, and you're hoping your team keeps moving along. So
yes, yeah. I hope so. I hope so for sure. So I guess first of all, we can start off in Brock Faber. He's obviously a Rookie of the Year candidate. The odds of him getting it are, well, kind of maybe less than 50% because of Connor Bedard, the other Connor now, that might help rule the NHL for years and on the wrong team. Yeah. But Brock Faber, obviously, with the Gophers, looked like a defensive defenseman, wasn't put on the power play. I mean, that's been mentioned a lot, obviously. But when you think about, he reached a milestone recently with his 40th point of the season, and going on record, he is the sixth defenseman in Wild history to have 40 points in a season, and he's a rookie.
Very impressive. Mm-hmm. And, you know, really, for the Minnesota Wild, kind of unprecedented as far as a rookie goes from that position. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've had some solid, like, introductions, like Jonas Brodin. I remember when he first played for the Minnesota Wild, people were really kind of like, whoa, you know, this kid's pretty good. You know, he got a lot of rave reviews, but it didn't turn into points. He still is not a major point producer, even though this year he's had a little more points. But, you know, Faber, you know, I don't think anyone quite expected him to be as impactful as he has been. I mean, we're not just talking about a guy who's had a couple good games. We're talking about a guy who has been there all season long in a group, in a defensive core that's seen all kinds of changes, you know.
Other ups than and downs,
him,
yeah.
But, well, not only that, just players moving in and out of the lineup because of injuries. He's been the one, knock on wood, he's been the one rock that they've been able to lean on, you know.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. He looks like a legitimate number one defenseman. A lot of us, a year ago, 2 years ago, whatever, we're thinking, oh, he should be in the top four. He can replace Matt Dumba. And it's like, you look at the parallel of that, like Matt Dumba is a single point guy, you know, even with Tampa now, I guess, after the trade. And then Faber becomes, you know, better than this one guy that used to wear number, I should be careful, but number 20.
It's too early. On me.
No, I give.
Captain Quick Trip doesn't bother me anymore. I tried to forget about Captain Quick Trip, but I mean, Brock Faber has definitely delivered big time. I mean, I don't want to say that the draft pick we also acquired in that trade with Los Angeles doesn't matter, but he's almost made it to the point where that anything you get with that draft pick is just gravy because you got such a great player in Brock Faber.
Yeah, it's like a nice lottery ticket. Like, literally, that's actually what I once called Kevin Fiala, kind of a lottery ticket. Like, oh, you know, he's got talent, he's got a chance, and maybe he can be something, and hopefully Ogren will be that as well.
Yeah,
for sure. Well, and then, go ahead.
I was just going to say, of course, the big story now is, how much are you going to have to pay for him?
Yep, that's what it was.
Keep him around.
Yep, that was the other thing. That was literally the other thing I was about to just dance into was Michael Russo talked about contract possibility of Kirill Kaprizov range. Oh, Lord. Oh, boy.
$9 million a season.
Yep. Oh, my. Yeah. So, yeah. Thank God that buyout hell is going to be over in a year, I guess.
Yeah. And, you know, the question, and I'm sure we'll get to this later, is how are they going to make that fit?
Yeah, you know, that's going to be tough.
That's going to be damn tough. And that's no fault of Brock Faber.
No. Yep, he definitely earned it, for sure.
Yep. And, you know, he definitely is a player, you know, I said this on our podcast on Crease and Assist. You know, even when he was a high school player at Maple Grove, people kept marveling about how he plays beyond his years. Like, the biggest comment about him was always his tremendous and obviously his great mobility and his hockey mind. And the same thing was true when he played with the Gophers. And it's funny, you know, he does the same thing, you know, again this year, where that's what everyone's marveling at, that he's not, he doesn't look anything really like a rookie. And he doesn't handle himself like a rookie. He seems like he's a person that's a mature person. Like, he's always been the mature person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's never been a point where you've seen him as the young, you know, kind of deer in headlights kind of person. He never seems to misrecognize the moment. He seems to have that, I don't know, that ability to take a step back and, like, consider his surroundings. I don't know. It sounds like I'm talking about a Jedi, but that's kind of, like, yeah. The ability is they have the ability to, like, slow things down.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
In their head, they're always able to, like, slow everything down where they're seeing the play, like, one step ahead.
Mm-hmm.
And he definitely seems to have that kind of ability. And now, you know, he's going to get paid like a player that has that kind of rare talent. And, you know, it's good on him. It's going to be a difficult thing for the Wild to deal with because maybe some of the deals that they made in the past will make that a lot more difficult to fit. But,
yeah.
You know, I guess in the here and now, thank God he's your player, right?
Yes.
You know, you're just happy he's on your side.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully they can get it to work.
Oh, absolutely. I hope so. Yeah, because obviously those deals that we all have been frustrated with ever since last summer, I mean, I remember literally covering my eyes when I saw 4 years, $4 million per for what's his face? Marcus Foligno. Yep, I couldn't believe it. I was like, oh my god. Yep. So that's something definitely. That's an elephant in the room. It's not a massive $7 million 7 year type of thing, but geez, I mean, it's still you know, it's still an elephant in the room. Along with when you add Ryan Hartman, another $4 million, and so Goodrow is not too big, but it's long. And buying that out, we'd be paying him until, or at least having a cap hit until 2034 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be crazy.
I think the real cautionary tale in it, and maybe I'm jumping far ahead on other things we want to discuss.
Yeah, that's okay.
You know, considering what you just mentioned with Marcus Foligno and Hartman and Zuccarello, is you really have to be disciplined with your budget. I mean, cap hell or no cap hell.
Yeah, even without it.
But when you consider the fact that this team, at least on paper, looks like it's poised to start going with a bunch of young players, you have to have not only one, consider, you know, an opportunity for roster spots so that those young players can actually have a chance to play on the team. But the other thing you need to consider is how are you going to be able to pay them if they do have, I don't, not necessarily Faber-esque moves. I mean, that's a pretty rarefied thing to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But they do show that they're a player that's worthy of that next contract that might be $4 or $5 million a season.
Oh, yeah.
You got to have space for it.
Yeah, otherwise, roster, yeah.
Otherwise, like what we see now in the rumor mill is that the team is, apparently, I don't know, and again, this might be, you know, rumor mills are, I think a lot of it is people just hope, it's like hopeful speculation. Wow. From another market. Hey, maybe we can get Rossi because they're going to be in a cap crunch after they have to pay Faber.
Mm-hmm.
Well, but the thing though is that there still is only so much money to go around, and, you know, did the Wild overstep with the contracts and now may have to make a regrettable movement because they can't afford to give that other young player a raise?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that would be terrible, wouldn't it?
Oh,
you know,
yes.
to have Marco Rossi, who's also, I guess, technically considered in his rookie season, you know, having a 20-goal rookie season, which is the best in Wild history, even better than Marian Gaborik. Mind you, he had a kind of a, I guess you'd say, an earlier audition, but still,
yeah,
it would be a shame to have to jettison him because you're deciding, well, I can't pay Paul, but I can try to pay Peter, in this case, Brock Faber.
Mm-hmm.
And so then you lose a player like that, or you have to trade him, not because you don't like him, but because you feel you need the cap space for somebody else. Kind of like the team trading Fiala, because they made the decision, well, we got to have the money to pay Boldy.
Yep.
So they deal Fiala away, which in most cases it had to have seemed to be, you know, on some levels, and let's face it, the criticism continued, at least early on, was how can you trade the second best season in Minnesota Wild history, you know, trade that away for, you know, the unknown that was, I guess, at least Brock Faber at the time, and a first. I mean, that's a bold thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
For a team that hasn't had a long history of high-scoring players.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that would have been a record-breaking season had Kaprizov not existed on our team. And
yet,
you had to jettison something you maybe kind of didn't want to be able to afford keeping another young player. So those are the kind of decisions you don't want to see us having to make. Because, I mean, how many times do you see Colorado having to make that decision?
Mm-hmm.
They don't.
Yeah, they have their guys.
You know, they have their guys, and mm-hmm. they seem to find ways to get more guys somehow.
Mm-hmm.
All the time.
Yeah, like one sucky season, and they get Cale Makar.
yeah.
They get their like, super Faber, basically.
Yeah, well, they've been fortunate to be bad at the right times.
Yep.
And this is also, again, maybe getting ahead of ourselves. The team, you know, our team is not willing to be bad.
Yeah, we're stuck in our...
It's flat out refuses to be bad at all.
Mm-hmm.
And just hopes to luck into it. Well, that's kind of the story of the last, you know, 20 plus years of the organization. And you know, I don't know. I think more and more people are coming to the conclusion that, you know, this is the layman's definition of insanity, of doing the same thing and somehow expecting a different result. So I don't know. That was kind of a long-winded, angled rant about two different things, but
yes.
I think it's all interconnected.
Yeah, and it's good information. It makes sense. Obviously connected with the Faber's contract, you could call it a demand, or it's just necessity, all that type of deal, with the possibility of, yeah, like where are we setting ourselves up? Like a game of pool, you don't want to set yourself up where, you know, you make your one shot, yay, it went in, but now, well, you're too far away from everything else. You're not set up well for the next shot, and then now it's going to be the other person's turn.
Yep.
And that's basically how that is, where You just hope somehow, some way, we can be able to deal a player or two that we signed, and like an older player, you hope we can, but can we? That's the million-dollar question. Merrill, obviously, that's one you won't... That one wouldn't... I don't think that would really hurt the team that much if they bought him out, because we're talking maybe... I know that might sound silly and weird and everything, but 1.2, right? So, and that's just next year. That would mean probably $600 for just the 2 years, right? So
2 years, yep.
Yeah, so that wouldn't kill us.
The only problem is it doesn't really save a lot of money. Like,
no, it's just the roster spot. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but if you, like, you know, since you're talking about that, I kind of wrote these out just from Cap Friendly. I didn't write what they made. I just stuck to the gears that they have left.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and I have it up too. Yeah, go ahead.
Yes. What do we have? Here's who we have. We have Kaprizov. He has two more years left on his deal.
Mm-hmm.
Boldy, 6 more years. Gorello, 2 more years. Eric Sadek, 5 years. Marcus Foligno, 4 years. Fast Freddy, 4 years. Ryan Hartman, 3 years. Jonas Brodin, 4 years.
Jeez.
Jake Middleton, just 1 more year. Same thing with John Merrill. Just
mm-hmm.
one more year.
Mm-hmm.
Bogosian, 2 years. Philip Gustafson, 2 years. And Jared Spurgeon, 3 years.
Yep.
So mm. you know, you look at that, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. That's 13 roster spots.
Yeah.
It's already been completely decided.
Yep.
Okay?
And for a while.
And that's what you have to pay, you know? Mm-hmm. Those contracts are already, you know, signed and dried on the dotted line, and they're there. So the question is how much room does that leave for a younger player? And I mean, you know, you notice in there I didn't mention Brock Faber. He's obviously going to be there. Okay. Mm-hmm. So somehow you're going to have to afford that within this block of people you have, and we also know for a fact that a lot of these guys have no movement clauses.
Yeah.
So it's not like it's easy to swap it out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because those people can be like, well, I know you want to. You'd rather pay Brock Faber than keep me around, but I have a no movement clause.
Mm-hmm.
Screw you. Go find somebody else.
Yep.
You know, ship out Middleton. You know.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know, the thing is in most cases the guys that don't have that protection, they don't make as much money, like we mentioned Merrill.
Yep.
Or Middleton.
Middleton.
Okay?
Yep.
So even if you ship them out, you really didn't gain that much space. Whereas, you know, a Hartman or a Foligno who's making $4 million plus, that could actually be meaningful towards affording a $9 million contract. But you can't.
That'd be nice.
But you can't touch it.
Yeah, you're
pretty.
That's
already cemented in place. That's already been cemented in place. So, for all the things you want to do, you kind of can't. I mean, I'm not going to get into politics, but. It's kind of like this. Well, but I say this because it's school funding, and I know you've told your audience that I'm a teacher many times, but
yeah,
you know, a lot of times when schools spend money, like a lot of government related things, it's earmarked. So, for example, in Wisconsin, they have all these things where they're doing things where districts are having to go to operating referendums where you're doing it to basically pay your employees because you don't have the money. Well, even if your district did a building project, the funds are earmarked for that purpose. You can't steal it from the building to pay the people. And a lot of people don't understand that. It's the same thing here with these funds are earmarked for these guys, and you can't steal from one to pay the other. And so you're locked in it, and it makes it that much more difficult. You know, it's not like you and I where we have discretionary funds and it goes wherever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't have the advantage of, like we mentioned before, robbing Paul to pay Peter. You just can't.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, that's going to make this that much more complicated, and that might be the toughest thing that the team really deals with in this off season is how are you going to pay Brock Faber? You know, that might be the biggest question of the summer, to be honest.
That is. It absolutely is. Because, like, what really else is there to do other than hopefully, again, like, trying to figure out a way to also re-sign Marco Rossi, as he likes to, that's like his official way of saying it, I guess, or Rossi, like being able to re-sign him. Yep. He has, I guess, next year, but 863, yep. He has next year remaining, but still, yeah, I mean, that could be another possible loss, but I'm thinking they'll find a way. I don't know how, but I'm thinking they will find a way. I don't have a great plan engineered, ready to go. Obviously, again, Merit Huznadinov's another one, like, you know, like that's pretty much the same exact status going on right now. The same, yeah, he came out of the same draft, same amount of years remaining, so. Which is one. So, and of course, no move. There's no move. And of all people, I think it's funny how Joel Eriksson Ek is the one without one. That you have Foligno, guys like that, which that is just, yeah, it's beyond me. I'll never understand it in a million years.
But that's why, you know, that's why those contracts, you know, no matter how much a player may like it here,
mm-hmm.
You know, that's why sometimes you have to make the choice and say, sorry, I just can't. You know, and for anybody that wants to, for anyone that wants to say that's like unprecedented, I can give you at least three different examples where that came into play for the Minnesota Wild. If you want to go way back to 2004, Cliff Ronning and the Minnesota Wild separated, I think it was over $130,000.
Yeah.
That was the breaking point. You know, talk about the different world we live in when the Wild are like, nope, we're not paying $130,000 more.
That's crazy.
See you later, Cliff.
Oh, okay. He was so valuable.
Well, he was important. I mean, he was important. You know, he was an important veteran on that team. Was he the most important player? No. But he definitely helped a lot. You know, and then probably better and even bolder examples would have been, look at Brian Rolston. Came in on a bargain deal, 3-year, $2 million a season, and all he did was have 30-goal seasons.
That's crazy.
Kind of like, you know, a lot of people keep, you know, we keep hearing Anthony LaPanta keep trotting out about, Ryan Hartman had 34 goals 2 seasons ago. Like, if there's a drinking game, you'd be drunk off your ass, you know, in about 10 minutes hearing him talk, bring that up again and again. Well, we had a 30-goal scorer that did it 3 times in a row, okay?
Yeah.
And he and everyone admitted, including Brian Holston, that he had been playing under a bargain deal, that the Wild had made out like a bandit, paying him only $2 million a season to score 30 goals. And, well, just like Hartman, he, after, you know, I guess working through that bargain contract, wanted to get paid. Well, he said, I want to get paid. And at the time, I think it was Chuck Fletcher, said, thanks, but sorry, we're not going to be the ones that's going to pay you.
Mm-hmm.
And so we let him walk, and pastures weren't completely greener for Brian Rolston. He kind of faded a bit after that until eventually retiring.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, maybe even though you got a great season out of Ryan Hartman, because you have other contracts in the future to think about, it may sound like a jerk move, but you're like, sorry, we can't pay you $4
million. Mm-hmm.
If we're willing to stick around for 3, maybe, but not 4. But instead we're like, well, he gave us some bargain seasons, so we're going to pay him the 4. Well, that's great, but now look what you've done.
Yeah.
Now you've cemented in. Yep, and now you can't afford something.
Yeah, it totally sucks.
There's a consequence for being sentimental sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
It really is.
It's pretty much, obviously, this is kind of going like off track a tiny bit, but it's related, and I'll keep it short so we can probably jump, you know, kind of stay in a similar area because we're kind of in the general Wild area now. Very similar to the downfall of the Minnesota Timberwolves right after their amazing season where they had the number one seed in the West, and of course Sam Cassell got hurt and we lost. Yeah, that was a bummer. We couldn't get past the Lakers because of Cassell's injury. We were just signing all these role players that Garnett liked so much, and within we never made the playoffs again. It took like 20 years to get back to the playoffs pretty much after that. And obviously had to jettison a guy named Garnett, who won the Defensive Player of the Year in an NBA title the absolute franchise, next season. Yeah, yep. We had to trade away the franchise player at, what was he, 29? It was kind of like, obviously I was okay with it at the time because it was like there's nothing else we can do. I know maybe I sound like an idiot, but I'll start a whole long conversation on that one. But
but in a weird way, the parallel with that one, though, too, and maybe I'm wrong, because, the other parallel I would say to the Wild would be the fact that I think and you can definitely correct me if I'm wrong, and I'm not going to claim to be a big NBA fan at all. When they signed, obviously, Kevin Garnett to his mega contract, the salary cap didn't exist, and then after he had made that deal, then now you had this contract that in any other way would not have existed, but then they kind of got, even though there wasn't any kind of retroactive penalty, it kind of was a, crippling contract because of its size. Mm-hmm. Yeah, really.
Like the Suter Parisi.
For in that case, the league made an actual penalty for it after the fact.
Yeah, that was mean.
Yeah.
But like,
100% it was.
Yeah, it was bullshit. Pardon my French. But well, yeah, it was. But yeah, like the salary cap, it existed, but it wasn't as strict. It's kind of like they tightened the hinges at the time because they could see what was happening. The contracts were like going absolutely insane. Now they're going insane like more than ever because of the, what do they call that, BRI, basketball-related income, which is, I guess it's fair, but I don't know. I don't think anybody's worth $50 million a year, but that's another...
No doubt. No one is.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. But, that was, like, they could see where things were going, so things got tightened so much, and that's what led to that lockout. And so, yep, and then after that, the Wolves literally signed their Ryan Hartman, Marcus Foligno-type players, like Trenton Hassel, Troy Hudson, all those guys, and it was long-term deals that ate up the cap, and the result was what it was. 20 years of purgatory.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the thing is, those contracts... Mm-hmm. become like anchors to you, you know, and when things go bad, you know, to put it in a visual kind of a context, you know, if you're in the boat in the middle of the lake and suddenly, you know, the hole, you know, develops in the boat and you're starting to take in water and you're in a boat full of anchors, the outcome's pretty inevitable.
Yeah, they're not going anywhere.
Unfortunately, no. because those anchors are chained to the boat, you can't get rid of them. And that's unfortunately exactly what, you know, the Wild had done. And I think people were quick to, you know, I think a certain segment of our fan base, at least the Minnesota Wild fan base, has now kind of been slow to pick up on that. Like, oh... that isn't such a good thing now.
Nope.
You know, and yet some of us at the time were like, you can't do that.
Yeah.
Like, and like the mistake's already been made, and now people are like, oh, can we change it?
Mm-hmm.
That ship sailed.
That ship has sailed.
You know, that sailed back in October.
Mm-hmm.
Because he didn't want to have it play out through the whole season. Well... You know, we're just doomed to whatever that consequence is, and you know, it's still gonna be unfolding probably for the next few seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that's the crappy part about it. We were set up at least a little bit to do good things, but we had to basically have some self-discipline and not spend that money because we were gonna need that space for the young players that were gonna earn that money. And instead, like a kid with money in his pocket, we just burned it. You know, it was, we couldn't hold back. And unfortunately, they were gonna. You know, as I think Confucius once said, those who do not economize will agonize. Well, we're agonizing.
Yes, we are. We're agonizing, and they want us to keep agonizing for a long time. It feels like. Mm-hmm. So all the, and it's like in general, obviously the playoff hopeful type of stuff. That's kind of like the other addition to the general Wild season talk, which is what we're right in the thick of course. I don't know. I was never really fooled by the thought of the Wild making the postseason. And obviously, even if they did, it's a one and done. And there is no 91 North Stars. There's no 2019. Absolutely no 2019 St. Louis Blues on this team. So, except for, well, we had a couple of former players last year, but that's okay. So, I don't even know if you want to get into that or not, just kind of saying how it's pretty much delusional to talk about the postseason at this stage.
I think I saw, what was it? I saw one of Tom Haines' posts.
Mm-hmm.
Who, after every game, or after each night, he usually posts kind of a little update saying, like, what we'd have to do to get to 96 or 97 points, and I think it was, like 10-0-1?
Yeah, can you imagine that?
Like literally perfect.
Yeah.
Like, there's virtually no margin of error. I mean, We're like Apollo 13, hoping we don't skip off the atmosphere. Mm-hmm. You know, we're trying to hit the side of a piece of paper. I mean, that's how thin our chances are. And
yep.
I honestly don't know. This sounds terrible, but I'm gleefully waiting for the end when we don't have to delude ourselves to caring that there's still a chance. Because I think we all realize it's not going to end well, even if we did make it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they haven't shown an ability to play and compete well enough against good teams.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
forever.
How many times do we? You know, they've had a couple of good wins against good teams, but not many.
Mm-hmm.
So why would anyone expect the team to go on a run in the playoffs? And I know there's the ridiculous optimists that say, well, you're good in the playoffs, you never know what'll happen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you could also say ... except the Wild, we know they're gonna lose, because that's pretty much what it's gonna be. I mean, their character is what they show against those tougher teams, and they wither faster than a flower and after a frost. I mean, they just die
in October.
That's just
how
it is.
Yeah, like a flower in October in the frost. Yeah, because you could just very briefly since we're still on the same main general topic of the episode, you could say is very briefly going back to the Hartman, Foligno, blah 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 blah. All these all these players that we've given no move clauses to time and time again. It's all about literally what have they done? You know, like what have they actually done, and why keep rewarding them and give them power? What have they done?
Well, Russo asked that question 2 weeks ago on Worst Seats in the House,
mm-hmm.
and you know,
I was clapping.
Oh, mm-hmm. So was I. That was mm-hmm. like everything that you know. What have they done? Why are we locking ourselves into this?
Yes.
And you know, the rationalizations from Anthony LaPanta. I actually thought there was going to be a fight.
Yeah, like Russo makes me clap, but Anthony makes me laugh. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Russo was pretty pissed. You could tell it in his voice.
Yeah.
I would have loved to have seen that exchange just to see the look from Russo's face towards Anthony LaPanta.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I have to admit, you know, and I've said this on Twitter, and I don't really care if I mean, I know you it'd be nice if you think that they're listening, but
mm-hmm.
they really need to break up that couple.
Yes. Yep.
I mean, bring back. I don't care if it's Suhan or whatever, but it was so much better with him.
Yeah, it really was.
All you're gonna get is PR talking points from the other guy, and it's sad. It really mm-hmm. is, because it was a lot better. And,
mm-hmm.
and let's face it, I don't think people are listening to hear Tony LaPanta.
No.
If you are, I question your life choices. But you know, people don't care who it is in Russo, as long as it's Russo, because
mm-hmm.
he's the one with the information.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to say, too, I was hoping we were going to mention that briefly, because, yeah, when you brought that up on the last episode, I was like, yes, this is awesome. when on the last episode of Crease and Assist, yep, of course, Derek is the host of Crease and Assist with Teresa Ferries and Kalisha Townsell. Yep, it is an absolutely fantastic show. I probably should have said that more in the intro, but a lot of you probably know, but I figured it's more polite for me to actually say it out. So... Yeah.
Well, I appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a lot of fun, and you know, again, I'm not going to say that we're the only ones that think that. I think more.
Yes. Yep.
And more people are coming to that conclusion.
You got me here, yeah. Like almost the first episode, I was like, ah.
Oh, whenever when they made the change, I knew it was not going to be a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I hate to say it, it was kind of the same way when Brandon Molesky left Beyond the Pond.
Yes. Oh my God. Yes.
You know, Kevin Paulus. it's gonna be wild PR, and then you know Pat Micheletti, who's a homer anyways.
Yeah.
I mean, Pat's a nice guy and all that, but mm-hmm. he rarely ever criticizes the organization, no matter what organization. I mean, if you talk about middle sports with him, he's always the homer.
Mm-hmm.
So I stopped listening.
Mm-hmm.
But when Brandon Molesky was there, you had a realist who's pretty pragmatic.
Mm-hmm. He's
and
good.
It was so much better. And mm-hmm. I will listen to Beyond the Pod when those mm-hmm. when Pat and Brandon are doing it.
Yeah, I like it.
I will not listen to Kevin and Pat. I just mm-hmm. won't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, POD Pod. Yeah, it's better. I like it, and it's been invisible lately, which is disappointing. I hope they can bring that back. It's I remember for a while they kept it going like year round for a while, and then it just now it's gone. I don't know. It'll probably come back.
My guess is Pat's just busier. I mean,
oh yeah, that's right.
Especially with college hockey, I think that's his kind of busy time.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just kind of fades off, and Brandon's, you know, a family man too. He's got mm-hmm. kids now, and I think that's really what pushed him off of Beyond the Pond to begin with, was he actually wanted to spend time with his son. And you know, you don't want to give up a Saturday for that. So
yeah, that's
hard to blame him for that at all.
Yeah, committing to like a Saturday morning and, you know, like is really tough to do, honestly, especially when you already have like a full-time job.
No doubt.
It's like, nope. It's like, like, and I've been working Saturdays lately to kind of help catch myself up with things because mm-hmm. obviously everything costs more, but that's another topic for some other show, right? Everything costs more. It's ridiculous, especially rent. But there I go babbling on about that. So, shall we dive into the prospects or any other general Wild thoughts you may have? General Wild season?
We can dive into the prospects. That's fine.
Okay. And I think before we get into the... I'm debating on when I should actually put in the draft kegs. Either right here or right or before the fan interaction segment, which is... This is all going to be one shot unless you need a break at some point, but...
Oh, yeah, you can drop it whenever. Go ahead.
Okay. I think I'm going to do it right about now.
Sure, go ahead.
Okay. We know hockey games move fast, but with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. This week, customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. So, in general, games going on right now, I tend to go with the money line. I guess the puck line is a bit more of a... that's more of like a... The team has to win by 2 goals. I've been learning more and more and more about things, but money line's the way to go. Florida Panthers versus New York Islanders. The Panthers are the hosting team. They are a -198. Islanders are a +164. A couple of other notables here. Toronto hosting the Capitals. That's cool. 185. That would be -185 for Toronto, +154 for the Caps, as they like to call them. The Wild versus the Sharks. As mediocre and meh as the Wild are, they are a -395. Hosting the Sharks. That's a wonderful... It's the Minnesota Wild versus the Minnesota Wild Rejects, the San Jose Sharks, the San
pretty
Jose...
Much.
Yeah, pretty much the San Jose Minnows, +310. I just get a chuckle looking at that. Oh, my. Vegas is all over the place. The Jets are, you know, tough. The Jets are the host, -130. The Islanders. The Vegas Golden Knights +110. Ooh, that's a big one. Colorado versus the New York Rangers. Could be the Cup Final, maybe. Colorado's the host, -162. The Rangers, +136. And Dallas, Vancouver. I feel like they play each other every... That's crazy. I don't know, but maybe I'm just nuts. Vancouver's the host, -105, and Dallas, -115. Interesting draw there on the West Coast in Vancouver. Anyhow, download the DraftKings Sportsbook app with code THPN. That would be like the Hockey Podcast Network. New customers can bet $5 on the NHL and get 200 instantly in bonus bets only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code THPN. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY, which is 467-369. In Connecticut, the home of the Hartford Whalers, help is available for available help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See code DKNG.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions. Terms and responsible gaming resources. NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2024. All rights reserved. And at least I didn't say 2004 like one time. I was like, did I really say that? Whoops. So, yes, there's your DraftKings sportsbook. So, yep, I didn't want to end up forgetting. I'd be like, oh, Lord. So, prospects, I suppose.
Yeah.
Yep, and there's a reason why I pause. That way I can find it. So, like, I pause at the beginning, the silence. That's a little inside info. Where the heck am I? Okay, prospects in general. So we open with Iowa. If there's prospects there, I suppose there are. No, there are. They're just not having. They're having a very rough go. They did get 3 goals yesterday, though, or was it 2 days ago? But they still lost.
Did get, yeah. Like they, they're 3-1 going into the third period.
That's right.
Against Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. Which is the top team in the AHL Central Division.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, they had played, I mean, the first two periods, I mean, the 3-1 score was indicative of how well they were playing. They were taking it to the Admirals, which is, like I said, they're a damn good team. They're a really good AHL team, probably one of the best teams in the West. And, you know, for an Iowa Wild team that is, you think the Minnesota Wild are desperate for points?
Mm.
Iowa's even more desperate.
Yep.
They had the opportunity, and then I think in the early, within the first 5 minutes of the start of the third, the Admirals strike with 2 goals to tie the game up, and Iowa basically had to hold on to just to push it to overtime, and they had a one good, glorious chance in overtime, and then, unfortunately, Damon Hunt trips over his own skate, and, you know, they lose in overtime just like that, so, you know, it was definitely one where you felt like, you know, the Minnesota Wild found a way to lose when they should have had one. They really should have.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot of the games this year where it looked like the Wild had it, and then, yeah.
Well, I think in a lot of ways it personifies a lot of their season.
Yes.
Missed opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and to a certain extent, too, where at times their young players can show you a tremendous amount of promise. Like Damon Hunt had a nice one-timer goal in the game, and yet he was also the same player that ends up, you know, tripping over his skate and basically gives a free lane to the Admirals player to move in and get the game winner. So
that sucks.
you know, you live by the sword and you die by the sword, and you know, part of that is young players, but that's the kind of luck that they've had to struggle through the whole season.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think, you know, in terms of prospects, you know, I started to look at the Iowa Wild roster and really asking who should be back. So I kind of wrote everything down. So Sam Hentges.
Yeah.
Been injured the entire season.
Yeah.
I think he's set to be an RFA. I can't see them offering him a contract. You know, he was hurt most of last year, too.
That's right with St. Cloud.
And he was pro last year, but he played almost no games because he was hurt.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And you know, sometimes that's the way it goes for people. You know,
mm-hmm.
Brent Bulmer was like that. Promising kid, size, a little bit of snarl to him, but guy just couldn't stay healthy.
I almost forgot about him, yeah.
Yeah, he was the first of the second-round picks, and that included Johan Larson and Jason Zucker.
Oh, yeah, that year, 2010?
Yep. 2010, yep.
Yep. Oh, he was the big guy that fought, what's the guy's name? Oh, it was Reeves, right? Is he the huge guy that fought?
I don't know if he, I don't think he was, I don't know. If he fought Ruse, he probably got destroyed. I mean, he was a tough player, but he wasn't like a, he wasn't a fighter. I mean,
oh, I might have been mixed up.
He was kind of like a poor man's, like, Matt Tkachuk. Kind of a player that's a pain in the ass. Bigger guy. That's kind of what they hoped he'd become, but he just never was able to stay healthy. But I said, he got hurt, and then, you know, he just kind of eventually get, you know, dropped away, you know, and
yeah,
that's what I see for Henches, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. Sammy Walker, has had a rough season. I think he's only at 12 or 13 goals.
Mm-hmm.
After having 27, I think, or 24 the year before. And the question is he's an RFA, so would they bring him back? I mean, I think they like him. He's by all accounts has been a good, I guess you want to say a good teammate and leader, but again, now you have all these kids. So do you keep a veteran kind of guy like as you like to say, a quad A player? Or mm-hmm. do you put the youth in there and say, hey, let's see what the kids can do?
Mm-hmm.
Adam Raska.
Yeah.
Another guy who they picked up in a trade earlier in the season.
He's pretty young. Huh?
Yeah, relatively young, and I think mm-hmm. they liked his energy because he likes to hit, likes to move around. But again, do you want to give that guy a roster spot, or do you want to give one of your talented younger players a roster spot? We don't even have to talk about the Ovchinnikov guy.
Oh, yeah.
They already said they're letting him go.
Mm-hmm.
Nick Sweeney, another guy.
Always hurt.
He was hurt virtually the entire season this year.
Yeah.
And that's another guy that was a 20-goal scorer for them
that they
didn't have, which, of course, affected that team's ability to, you know, score on a nightly basis. I can't see them giving him another deal.
No.
Because that window has passed. Mm-hmm. Jujhar Khaira had a good start, and then he got hurt, and then he's been hurt the rest of the season. Kind of feel bad for him because I feel like he would have been a guy that we would have added for the playoffs because he's kind of that bigger bodied forward that mm-hmm. they always kind of like, and we already would have had him in the system.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously hurt, he can't help you, so
he's
probably done.
Oh, and I was going to throw in the tiny stat. He's actually a plus +9, too, if you can believe it.
Yeah.
on this team? Yeah.
Yeah, he played very well for them when he was there, and when they lost him, they not only lost his size and kind of, because they don't have a lot of big forwards in Iowa. Iowa overall is actually kind of a smaller team. He was one of their few bigger players, and he actually was pretty good offensively. He actually had okay offensive numbers. I mean, was he going to be a 40 goal scorer? No, but mm-hmm. he probably would have had 20 goals this season. And that for that Iowa team, that would have been, that could have meant winning a lot of. I mean, that probably would have won some games
mm-hmm.
that they didn't win because they didn't have him. So Turner Elson, he's one of the guys we got in the trade deadline. He's actually performed pretty well.
Yeah. Yep.
I don't know if you're gonna get this reference or not. Have you ever seen Mystery Alaska?
I've heard of it, but I haven't seen it. Okay. No.
Well, he kind of. For anyone that's seen it, it reminds me of the Mike Beebe character, who was the Russell Crowe's character in the movie, where he's kind of like the veteran on this local hockey team, where he isn't the fastest, but he kind of does a little bit of everything, and he has that ability to make the right play when you need it. And Turner Ellison has been that since he arrived. We traded Nick Patan for him, which was our leading scorer.
Yeah.
Which, when you looked at it on paper, it looked like a horrible trade. Like, why would you trade a guy with 40 points for a guy with, like, 12?
Yeah.
But the guy does 40, think that you know? Nick Patan wouldn't. Like, Nick Patan can score the pretty goal. He can make the great pass. But he's not the guy that blocks the shot when you need it. He's not the guy that makes the hit when you need it. He's not the guy that takes the hit to make the pass to the guy that gets the setup for the goal. That's not Nick Batan. And Turner Ellison has been that kind of guy since he's gotten there. And I know he's a little bit older. I think he's 30. But he's received nothing but rave reviews from Ben Gislason, who's like kind of the play-by-play voice of the Iowa Wild. And I've watched him. I mean, it's kind of funny. You know, he's out there and you're like thinking, well, he's not going to score. But yet he does like the right thing that sets up goals a lot. And I don't know. He's one of those veteran guys that I could see the team might keep him around just because they liked his leadership, because he's been a captain just about everywhere he's been, and and we know that, let's face it, we know our organization likes character people like that.
Yes.
So if we sign Turner Ellison to like a basically an AHL deal for 2 years or something like that, I could see that happening.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stephen Fogarty, he's been a good veteran down there. Good soldier. He's from Pennsylvania, but he played hockey at Edina. Played for, I think, Notre Dame, if I remember right, in college.
Yep.
But anyways, he's and I don't say this just because of his family. Like, I think his brother was a Navy SEAL. But he's definitely a soldier kind of player. Like, we'll do whatever it takes, you know. If you need a guy to again make a hit to make a play, he does a lot of that kind of stuff. May not be the most, you know, prettiest player to watch, but he has really good hands. Another one of those kind of veteran guys, they like having the young guys seeing a veteran like him, a guy who's very professional. You know? And I think he's another guy that maybe they might want to keep around. But again, you know, if you keep him, that's a younger player who, you know, wouldn't be playing there. So I guess that's going to be a tough one. Simon Johansson, kind of an older prospect.
Yeah, 24. Yep.
I think with the long queue of defensemen we have, even though he's had a not bad year, he's the only defenseman. I think he's their highest goal scoring defenseman with 8 goals.
Yeah. Wow. 8. Yeah, Hunt's got 20 assists.
He's still pretty frail, though, even though he's an older guy. And I say frail, like, he's just easy to push around.
I'm not saying
he's, like, fragile. He's just not strong.
Yeah. He's only, like, 170. He's kind of lanky.
He's very thin.
Yeah, he's lanky. Yep.
And with so many kids in the waiting, I just think, like, he's kind of timed out as a prospect. Again, kind of like Nick Sweeney in a way, where you feel like that window to make an impression and stay is kind of come and gone. Even though I don't think he played bad, I think it's just, you know, they're looking at the next person up. You know? So that'd be my guess. Yeah, Will Butcher, another guy we brought up with a trade from Buffalo. He's been pretty good. He's been really helpful because they really lacked a veteran presence. Because remember, Dakota Mermis was supposed to be Iowa's captain.
Yep.
and then he literally never played in Iowa this year.
Yeah.
Just about. So that was a huge void for that team. And if you're wondering why things went the way it did in Iowa, well, the guy that was supposed to be their leader was never there, and that wasn't his fault. You know, the Minnesota Wild needed him, or at least they thought they needed him. So he's been up with Minnesota the whole time, and yet that left a huge void because he was one of their very few veteran defensemen, and yet he was up in Minnesota. And so they really lacked that veteran presence on the blue line, and Will Butcher's been important. He's been an important add to them. Unfortunately, the team's fortunes were pretty dim by the time he got there. And then I guess our two goalies, Hunter Jones. I can't see them giving him another contract, but unless it's dirt cheap.
Yeah.
Like, I can see giving him like an AHL deal, but at this point, you know, you kind of feel like you've seen all you're going to get out of him.
Yeah, he's really struggled.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then Zane McIntyre, he hasn't played very much. It's been mainly Wallstead's show.
Mm-hmm.
He's a veteran guy. He doesn't make, you know, he's not, I don't, at least as far as I can tell, there's no, like, locker room drama or anything. Like, he's pouty or nothing. But, you know, again, the only thing I would just say is we don't really have another young goalie to take his spot. So maybe you keep him around just because there's nobody in the pipeline, really, besides Wallstead.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That could be for McIntyre.
Yep.
Yeah, keep him around. Yeah, he's definitely had a down year. Wasn't he pretty strong last year, from what I remember? Even like 2 years.
He wasn't too bad. He was certainly better last year than this year, although...
Oh, yeah, 2 years ago, he's really good.
I would argue, though, that the team has not been as good.
Yes.
You know, goaltending, whether it's fair or not, is often sometimes a reflection of what's in front of you. Because let's face it, if your team doesn't score two or three goals a night, it's going to be hard for any goaltender to win.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
even if
they're playing very well.
Mm-hmm.
And Volstead certainly played better between those two this season.
Yes.
And he's gotten the lion's share of starts because of that. But, you know, at the same time, though, they just don't have a lot of goal support. And, again, a young defense that's learning a lot the hard way.
Yeah, like Aurora, minus 28. Ugh.
Yeah, that's pretty ugly.
Minus 28. Oh, my God. I always harp on that one. Mm-hmm. Oh, you're still there?
You know, going into that, you know, then you look at all the... Yeah, I'm still there.
Okay, sorry. Yeah, I think it cut out.
Prospects.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry about that. So you look at all the prospects you got, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Caden Bankier, who really had... he missed like a quarter of the season due to injury. He's been really kind of a... They've given him kind of all the offensive situations you could want.
Mm-hmm.
He's another player, though, that needs to add more strength to his frame. He protects the puck pretty well, but sometimes he can be pushed around a little bit for being a bigger guy.
Mm-hmm.
Has a pretty good shot. Unfortunately, though, defensively, he's had his struggles, which you can see. I think he has he's like a minus 19, too. Or something like that. It's bad.
Oh, it's 23. Wow.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. And when you look at the amount of games, that's not a lot of games to rack up minus 23.
Yeah.
Like 40 something.
41. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. But he's a player making that transition from major junior to pro, and that's the difference between playing against men versus boys. You know, that happens. So I don't think it's any kind of, like, you're having to worry that whether he's a viable player or not. I think there's promise there. But, again, it's been an adjustment for him.
Mm-hmm. Big time.
Yeah. Another guy who's been impactful, although maybe not as much on the score sheet as you'd like, and I said this last year to you, was Mikey Milne.
Yeah, I was going to bring him up.
He too got hurt just before training camp, I think, or early in training camp.
Mm-hmm.
And so he missed almost half the season.
Yeah, 30
and,
games.
It took him a little while to get going, but he makes a big difference. And he's probably the best skater, pure skater on the Iowa Wild. He's got a lot of speed. He likes to hit. Kind of reminds me, really, of Mason Shaw.
Okay.
Except for, I think he's faster.
Yeah.
Definitely
a strength.
To me, he's a classic energy bottom six kind of forward. And, you know, he's not going to be a... I don't think he's going to morph into a top six guy, but... I think he would be a fun one to see on your bottom six someday.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a matter of him sticking with it, and it seems like he's got a pretty good head on his shoulders, and it sounds like Mason Shaw has been actually talking to him a lot about basically saying, hey, do what I did.
Mm-hmm.
because I think he sees a lot of the same things in between him and
Milne
and Mikey. Yeah.
Milne, I guess. Sorry.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you know, you have your defenseman, Lambos,
Yep.
You know, Spacek, O'Rourke, those, and Hunt. Those are your young players that got a lot of time this year. You know, they all had little moments where they had little bright spots, you know, in their little, you know, in moments, but then they also had plenty of terrible errors, too, you know. Lambos kind of has that Dumba-like tendency to make, like, a low-risk, or sorry, a high-risk, low-reward play. You know, where he basically just kind of fumbles with the puck at the worst possible place that leads to a scoring chance, like, right away. And what they find out quickly in the pro ranks, those end up in the back of the net.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and those mistakes are...
Can't afford that.
You know, your goalie doesn't bail you out. And again, that's not necessarily a slight on the goalie. It's just that the shooters are... They capitalize on those situations. They just do. Spacek's looked okay. I think he's given them more than what they probably expected. Although he's not as prominent as he was earlier in the season.
Yes.
You okay.
Oh, sorry, that hurt. Sorry, my ankle hurt for a second.
Ouch.
I'm sorry. I was just moving funny. Sorry for interrupting.
No problem. Also, I started hearing "ow." I was like, okay.
Sorry.
The one player, though, I would say that's been definitely the standout, and his plus and minus kind of indicates it, too, has been Damon Hunt. He is definitely the closest thing you have to... He's the closest one to being NHL-ready out of that group of young players.
Mm-hmm.
It's not perfect, but he's definitely shown more improvement, and I do believe that his call-ups that he did earn throughout the season has built his confidence. He seems like every time after he came back from being with the Wild, or the Big Wild, he seemed to play with more assertiveness each time. So he's a player that definitely probably feels like the organization values him and wants him. And I'm not sure if maybe that's what the other players are thinking. You know, maybe, you know, if you're Ryan O'Rourke and you didn't get a call-up this year, maybe you're thinking, maybe they don't care about me anymore, but you know, you also have to do something to make them want to give you a chance, and
he just really
hasn't, unfortunately. I don't know. That's really it for the young players. Firstov, Vladislav Firstov I said this to you on Twitter and other things. He's looked faster. The way he looks like he's picked up a step or two in terms of his skating and his speed that he didn't have when I saw him play in Iowa, you know, a year ago or so. You know, he seems to have more assertiveness. Unfortunately, it hasn't really manifested in points, and that's really kind of what I think he needs to show he can do, because I don't think he has enough versatility in his game to be a bottom six or even a middle six kind of player. He's more of kind of a scorer. At least that's what he seemed to be in the KHL, the Torpedo.
Yeah.
And you'd hope to see that would translate to scoring at the AHL level. Now, his contract is at the end of his entry-level deal, so they would have to re-sign him, and the question is, does he want to play in Iowa? Because I don't see an NHL-ready player just yet. I mean, it doesn't mean he's bad. It just means I don't see an NHL player. I mean, if he was an NHL player, he'd be scoring, you know, a point per game and showing me, hey, I don't belong here.
Yep.
Bring me up, you know, but that's not what's happening.
Yeah, definitely not initially. Yeah, no. Yep. I see him as kind of like that scorer type, as well. More of a skilled player than, you know, a guy that would fit in a bottom six to kind of work his way up.
Yep.
Yeah, he's more of a skill kind of guy.
And kind of in that same realm, like Adam Beckman, do you think? I don't think so.
Yeah, no. Oh, say that one more time. You cut out a little bit.
I just said I don't think we keep him because, like, I don't see a player that's fast enough.
Probably not, yeah. Probably not.
I don't see a player that's fast enough to play a bottom six role. I don't see a player that's skilled enough to really justify getting a top six opportunity.
No.
There are players like that who might be good enough to be that top six player in the AHL, but they're not good enough to be that top six player in the NHL. I mean, look at Jerry Mayhew, right?
Oh, God, yeah.
Jerry time. I loved watching Jerry time. He was fun to watch in Iowa, but he couldn't do that at the NHL level. You know, he's that quad A player, like you say.
Yep, quad A player,
AHL stud, NHL dud.
Yep. Yeah, that's like, yeah, and there's so many. You know, you could go on forever. Like Christian Matz, I remember that guy a while ago. He was a 100-point. Matz. He was a 100-point player in the AHL, and then NHL it was like zero. It's crazy that it's that big of a difference.
Darren Haydar, Simon Gamache, those are all like super stud AHL scoring machines. But then when they got their NHL shot, it didn't really amount to much.
Yeah, like dare I even throw in Brian Bonin? Sorry.
Yeah.
Kind of,
He didn't have that long of a career, but yeah, I mean, same thing with being like a college scorer or big-time major junior scorer.
Yeah,
and find out it's not so easy in the pros.
No.
You know, you're not victimizing a 16-year-old goalie anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You're not victimizing an 18-year-old freshman goalie that is just, you know, you don't have, they don't fill as much the net as the pro does. That's 6'3", 6'4", you know, prototypical NHL size with, you know, all the rest of that. It's not as easy. And Beckman certainly has seen it's not as easy to score as it was when he was in Spokane, you know?
Yeah.
So that's not a slight on anybody. That's just what it is. So just looking at some of the other kind of prospects without getting too long-winded. Toporowski, they got from the trade deadline.
Yeah,
he's actually been pretty good.
It's a nice story.
He's been scoring well. Obviously, the hometown angle of him being from Bettendorf, Iowa, plays pretty well there. But he's also been impactful, you know, and put some pucks in the back of the net. And so, you know, he has one more year remaining on his deal. So I think he'll be a popular guy in Iowa next year.
I'm a fan,
I mean, the other question is who else might also be there. I mean, like Vinny Lettieri, right?
Yeah.
You know, Vinny Lettieri still has one more year left on a deal. And, you know, he was another guy that was supposed to be probably the go-to offensive workhorse for the Iowa Wild. But yet he barely played in Iowa, you know?
Yeah, as a regular in the NHL, believe it or not.
You know, I mean, that plays a role in how things go in Iowa when you basically lost your leading scorer or one of the guys that should have been your leading scorer. You know, that has an effect on that. And again, I'm not trying to make everyone just say we have to care about what's going on in Iowa, but then you also then shouldn't be surprised if Iowa's struggling. If you've taken all their scorers, you know, and they are a young group of kids. I mean, I guess the question is do you want to just be a, you know, like a group of kids, like basically a bunch of, you know, under 23-year-old guys and go with it? We've never really tried that. We've never usually had enough guys, and now it looks like we do. I mean, we added Jack Peart.
Yes, yep.
Another guy that's going to be in that mix of seven deep defensemen down there.
Yeah, so busy.
You know, a lot of competition.
Mm-hmm. Somebody's got to break through one of these years. It's like, and then otherwise, you know, somebody might get traded at some point just because of, you know, you can't keep them all just because there's just not enough room.
Yeah.
Somebody has to step up.
Well, or they got to be traded.
Yes. You know, yep. Or traded. Yeah.
Yeah. That's really all you can do with it. And I was actually kind of surprised at the deadline that we didn't see a couple of those trades. You know, at the deadline, just, you know, where teams, I don't, you know, it's kind of like you feel like you have an idea of what you're getting out of them, and maybe you feel, hey, maybe in another situation, you know, or this is what we need, and so you swap them out, and maybe that's what we'll see this next deadline, when maybe the team decides which futures it's buying into, and which ones it's kind of saying, yeah, you may have a chance, just not with us. So like, here's your chance to go see what you can do in Toronto, or always Buffalo, or always San Jose, right?
Yeah, Buffalo and San Jose, Buffalo forever. Everybody, like, you trade from Buffalo and you trade them back to Buffalo. Somebody like a Pominville, that was funny how that turned out.
it's our own little circular pipeline.
Yeah, like for years, Minnesota Vikings, now here I go again, right, with Seattle Seahawks. Like, you know, you could just name the list. It just went on, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, Buffalo and now the Sharks. I always call them like I've been calling them the Wild Rejects. It's pretty much what's going on.
Yeah, well, I think the big interesting, I guess, the takeaways, because maybe this kind of leads into one of your questions, is will we see some of the other, I guess, more high-profile prospects play now in Iowa next year, now that maybe seasons are up? Because, like, for instance, Ogren, Liam Ogren's season came to an end. Will he come over and play in Iowa? You know, or, you know, will Hunter Haight, you know, a guy who he will probably definitely not be available by the time the Iowa season's done, because the Iowa season will be done before he's done, because he's playing in the Memorial Cup.
Because
Saginaw is the host this year, so they're, as the host city, they get a team in the Memorial Cup, so he'll be there, which I think we all have to hope for the best for him there. I'm excited to hear what he can do, because I think if memory serves me correctly, major junior season, the regular season just ended, and so playoffs are going to be starting very soon now. So you know, Riley Height, we just signed, which everyone's super excited about.
Yes.
If you read the Athletic story from Joe Smith and Michael Russo, the parents definitely seem to think he'll be on the Minnesota Wild next year. Which I don't mean to sound like a jerk, but it's like,
it's a big jump.
pump the brakes a little bit, you know.
Yeah, that's a big jump.
well, it kind of. I mean, when I was reading the article this morning, all I could think of was, this kind of feels like Kalen Addison. Like Kalen Addison, if you remember when we, shortly after we made the trade for him, and of course everyone's like, who's this kid? And, you know, and then we hear that, you know, he was this player that Bill Guerin really liked and brought over from Pittsburgh, and we heard all these glowing things. You know, he played on the World Junior team for Canada and all this stuff, and, you know, the family's all excited that, oh, wow, we think we can make it. And again, I'm not saying Kalen Addison's, like, garbage or anything, but it didn't quite translate, you know, it wasn't like he just was dominating or whatever. And, you know, the same thing is true for Riley Height. I mean, he had a fantastic junior season where he's the all-time, whatever, he broke the points record for Prince George. That's nice, but that doesn't guarantee an NHL career.
No, it's,
it doesn't. I mean,
you wish, but don't know. It really doesn't.
He played okay in some preseason games. I'm not gonna take that away from him, but they're also preseason games. I mean, you know, how many times was Charlie Coyle looking like he was gonna be an Art Ross Trophy winner with his preseason performance?
Yep.
Only to go back to being the actual real Charlie Coyle as soon as the regular season started.
Yep.
You know,
middle
sex. You see it all the time. So, I mean, preseason, you know, like Adam Beckman was a preseason stud 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
What did that matter?
Yeah, it's like you're just, so, you know, you're just playing with Vinny Lettieri.
Yeah, so, mm-hmm. you know, I think it's nice to have hope and be excited, and good for him on getting a contract. But at the same time, I think it's a bit presumptuous to start probably buying a height jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And finding an apartment in the Twin Cities. You know, I would probably wait on that.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Just and again, that doesn't mean that he couldn't turn out to be something. It's not it at all. I just would say, I would probably, if I were them, I would probably temper my expectations just a little.
Yeah, it's too early to say. It really is. And obviously the translation is it's very tough, and we've like you said, we've seen it happen with a lot of players where it just didn't. So
mm-hmm.
yeah,
I guess sorry.
Oh, I was gonna say yeah. No, go ahead. My mind's wandering. No, sorry.
Well, then we got Pavel Novak. He's
The ECHL.
Yeah, him and Kyle Masters have been playing with the Heartlanders, they've actually, it's taken Pavel Novak a little bit longer to kind of get comfortable and acclimated, and only more recently has he kind of been more of a regular on the score sheet, whereas Kyle Masters has really kind of done pretty well with his opportunity right from the start, and has continued to be that way. So definitely he's benefited from having more ice time than what he was getting in Iowa, where he was being scratched, you know, for a couple games, and then he'd get one game, and then he'd scratch for a couple more, and then, you know, that wasn't helping him. So getting him ice time was what really the priority was for that, and I think that's been good for him.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, I think the thing is, what you're going to want to see out of Novak is if he can shove his way onto the Iowa Wild roster next year.
Mm-hmm. And contribute, yeah.
That to me is a realistic goal, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Pavel Novak thinks he's going to go from the ECHL to the NHL. It's the same thing I just said about Riley Height. It's like kind of like pump the brakes.
Yeah, it's too far.
You know, just go with, I mean, he lost the season dealing with cancer, you know, no doubt, it's gonna take time for him to make up that ground, and he's still trying to make up that ground. And you know, I would say just focus on that success. The Heartlanders themselves are kind of in a dogfight to try to get into the playoffs. Hopefully, they can. Mm-hmm. It's definitely been a better season overall for them than what it was the last few years, where they were like literally a complete bottom feeder disaster. But still, I mean, I think they can. I think the progress, that's where you see it, from getting opportunity. I mean, that's why you have an ECHL affiliate, is to give opportunities to guys that might not be able to get it in the AHL.
Yep, exactly. So, it's an opportunity to, you know, like you said, get their feet wet, to be able to skate rather than just being a popcorn maker, as we like to say.
Yeah. Being James stuck. Shepherd Memorial Popcorn Maker.
Yep, James Shepherd. Yeah, because that's the last thing you want. It's demoralizing, and you don't get anywhere. You're just stuck.
Yep. So, should we talk about the NCAA tournament?
Yeah, I could get into that very quickly, and then the fan interaction. So, NC2A tournament, or AA, or whatever we like to call it. We got Boston. Should I just kind of rattle off the regions, I guess?
Bracket.
Sure, the region. Yeah, the region. So, was it in Providence, Rhode Island? This is the, you could say, the first bracket. Boston College, number one overall, and they had all the votes basically for number one. 31-5-1, playing Michigan Tech. Kind of cool. They are 19-14-6. The continued part of the bracket is Wisconsin with Charlie Strumel, maybe his last game or two games or so. Mm-hmm. 26, 11, and 2 with Wisconsin. Who knows where he's going to turn up with overs or something. Playing against the national champions, not the runners-up. The national champion, Quinnipiac, 26, 9, and 2. That was depressing, just a slight depression thing last year. We had it, but we stayed back, didn't we? Yep.
So had to pack it in the third period.
Yes, we did, and take bullet after bullet after bullet after bullet, and then Cooley couldn't hit the net when he had a chance to wrap it up. And I'm not bitter at all, not at all. Nope. I just came right on the air. I'm like, you know what? I was gonna have a celebratory episode. It's like, I'm going to still do it. I have a lot to say. That's what it was like. They had it. So the Big Ten champion Michigan State's the number 4 seed. They're in the, you know, you can call it the super bracket, which has Boston College, who are probably the national favorites. Michigan State, 24-9-3, versus Western Michigan. I believe the Gophers beat them to get to the Frozen Four for the first time in forever a couple years back. And then we got slaughtered by Minnesota State. Ugh. 21-15-1. This is in Maryland Heights, Missouri. Interesting location. North Dakota. Yeah. Yep, go ahead.
I think it's the St. Louis Blues practice rink.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
It's like their TRIA, but the big issue is with this because you got Michigan State, Western Michigan, North Dakota, and Michigan.
Yes, and Michigan.
So you got 3 Michigan schools.
Jeez.
And then North Dakota, right?
Yeah, that's funny.
This is in Missouri.
Yeah.
Which does not have a single men's Division I hockey program.
Mm-hmm.
And the arena only seats 2,500.
Ooh.
So because of that, the demand for the tickets has gone absolutely insane. And I saw it reported that tickets for this are going for $1,000 a pop.
Oh my God!
$1,000 a pop for
one person, right?
for one person to a regional.
Oh my God!
That's ridiculous. Well, the thing is, I mean, while a lot of people are, you know, harangued on the NC2A for putting regionals in places where like no one gives a crap.
Yeah.
You know, like you know, in Springfield. They always have one in Springfield. And, you know, you see, like, a damn near empty arena, and it's kind of lifeless. Well, this is, like, the opposite, right?
Yeah.
So they put it with fan bases that travel well. All of those fan bases travel pretty well.
Yeah, Michigan.
And they're going to be jammed in there to the rafters, which will make it crazy, but it seems It seems like you're not taking advantage of what would have been probably easy to sell 10,000 tickets to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they put that at Kohl Center in Madison. They'd probably sell at Kohl Center in Madison.
Yeah, and even those would probably go for a lot of money.
Yeah, but it just seems kind of silly.
Yeah.
The way it's done. And, of course, for Michigan, you know, like we used to complain when Minnesota would have, you know, 4 or 5 teams in the tourney. Mm-hmm. That state feels like basically, well, this sucks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're all in one bracket, so only one will make it at best.
Yeah, it's stupid. What were they thinking? And then again, matching them in that little place. Yep. Yeah, it's like at first I didn't even realize that. I'm like looking. I'm like, wait a minute. You know, it's, you know, stuff just pops out at you when you're not looking closely. You know, it's like, oh my God. Yeah, and they're playing the Fighting Hawks, right? Yep, Michigan versus the Fighting Hawks. Michigan and Minnesota were the top 2 teams in the country. Now it's 2 Massachusetts teams. We'll get to that very shortly. 2 Boston teams, of course. So all these memories are, we even beat North Dakota. What was it, 1-0 to get to the championship game back in 2014. And a team that played like a bunch of wimps against Union who wanted him more. I'm not bitter about that one still either.
Yeah, keep bringing it up.
Yep. Oh, it makes me so mad. It does. I'm hungry. I want a championship.
But let's face it. That's the story of the NCAA. That's the story of the tournament. I mean,
yeah, things happen. It's
one and done hockey.
Yep, things happen.
And if you don't show up to play with the right mentality, and it doesn't matter if you're Minnesota or Holy Cross.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That one too.
Fun one.
Yep.
Or Air Force or whoever.
Yale, yep.
I mean, these, they'll get you. And, mm-hmm. you know, congratulations. I mean, I realize you're maligning Quinnipiac or Union, but I mean,
yeah,
they wanted it.
Yeah, they did.
You know, that's how it goes in college hockey.
I think the ultimate Cinderella story was it 10 years? No, 10, 11 years ago, Yale started with the Gophers. And they went all the way and won. Holy, you know, they won the championship. They were
that was the buzz. Yeah.
Weren't they like Alex, the 15th seed or something? Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I think it was Alex Lyon as goalie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that sounds right.
Because he's from Lake of the Woods.
Oh, cool. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that name very well. Yeah, obviously. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, and Yale, that was... I'm a closet Yale fan because of that. Like, even though it's like it was annoying losing in the first round when we were like number two in the country, I think. I think Notre Dame was number one, and they lost early too, if I remember. It's pretty weird. So crazy stuff happens. You hope we'll see if both of the Boston teams get knocked out early. Boston or this.
Yeah, the Boston teams all got spread out, though. All the Massachusetts teams.
Yeah, yes, they did. Yep. So, like, Denver's against the regular Massachusetts, or UMass. That's the team that actually won it with our guy, Lindbergh, a few years ago. Were they against St. Cloud State? They finally got to the national title game. But Lindbergh with a shutout, and they're playing against the Pioneers, who've won, like, 10 titles or something. 8, 9, 10 titles. It's ridiculous. This is in Springfield, Massachusetts. Yep, that's, I think.
Yep. Gotta have one in Springfield.
Yep. People love Springfield. Okay, sorry. Yeah. That's the mayor. No. Maine. The Maine, what are they called? Black Bears. There you go. That's the one that's a positive memory. Even though they knocked us out 1 year before that, I think it was an overtime game. It might have been in the the region final. They knocked the Gophers out in 01 and then 02. Well, that was a wonderful story. The last time the Gophers played in a Frozen Four in St. Paul. Well, hopefully it happens again. They'll be playing against Cornell, who was also in that tournament, if I remember correctly.
Big Red.
Big Red. That's a cool one. I like that. Big Bear. Boston University, number two in the nation against RIT. Hopefully they're our next opponent. That'll be 20. I had to say it, right? 26-9-2. That will be a tough one. RIT 27-10-2. This is in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Minnesota Gophers.
Yep, they're playing at.
Yep. Good.
Playing at the new. They're playing at the new arena for Augustana College.
Oh, that's nice.
Augustana, the new Division I program this year.
Mm-hmm.
The arena was literally finished in the middle, right at the start of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So it's basically the debut nationally for everyone to kind of see that beautiful brand new arena. So kind of a cool place in my opinion.
Yeah, it is cool. Boston, I gotta check it out.
And Boston U of course also has Macklin Celebrini,
mm-hmm.
The guy who's likely projected to go number one overall in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
The guy we wished we would have tanked for maybe.
Yes. But, yeah, now it's way up. That'll never happen now.
Too late for that.
Yeah, unless we get I don't even think we'd get the lottery. I don't even know if we have the chips to get the lottery to go that high. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sucks. Yep, RIT, what would they be? They'd be the Yale, like the 15th seed, because I think the Gophers were number two, in 2013.
The RIT won the Atlantic Rochester Conference. Institute of Technology.
Cool.
The Tigers.
Mm-hmm. That's one of those cool ones, like when Princeton made it a few years back. There was a lot of weird ones. I remember that. And then Minnesota versus Omaha. Omaha, Nebraska. 23-12-4, the Gophers. 22-10-5. Kind of an up-and-down year for the Gophers, honestly. They show promise, and then they don't. And mm-hmm. then they show lots of promise, and then it's like, they lost.
Well, it's just like we said earlier, you know, you have to come and play up your talent.
Mm-hmm.
And if the Gophers think they're just going to show up and play Omaha and just walk through, I think they're going to have a rude awakening. Omaha, as we actually kind of talked about earlier in the show, really fast team. Like, a lot of speed on that team. Not very big, Mm-hmm. But very fast, the Lubke brothers out of Lakeville South are on that team.
Nice.
They're pretty good. You know, I think if Minnesota thinks it's just gonna, you know, they're gonna have to be ready to move and skate, because this is one of the probably one of the faster teams in probably maybe the country.
Mm.
So and they're the NCHC runner up, and that's one tough tournament. Mm-hmm. That is one tough tournament.
Yeah, Denver, all those tough. Yep, they had to play Denver.
Yep.
Oh man, and that's Denver. Jeez, just every time I look at Denver, I'm like, oh, not again, please, no. Yeah,
good team.
Yeah, they are, and a crazy good program for forever, basically going back in, I don't know, 50, 60 years about.
Yeah. And Matt Carl's done a really good job with them.
Mm-hmm, for sure. So then you have, again, like I was saying, Boston College and Boston University. Of course, if the Gophers won, more than likely we'd have to get past Boston U. That's who the Gophers, yeah, I think we beat them in the Frozen Four last year, yeah. That was a decent game. The Gophers pulled away and felt like $1 million going into that championship game, let me tell you. It was like, I wasn't overly cocky because you know how stuff happens, obviously. Like Maine, I was terrified playing Maine because I knew they'd beat us the year before. So I've never been one to be like, oh, we got this. It's, you know, I've never been the type. And obviously this year, it's kind of, I don't even know if I want to make comparisons. Like the 03 team, that was a extremely talented team. They didn't have the greatest record, but then they tore through a couple of easy opponents before playing Michigan again. And then, you know, played a very tight game with New Hampshire for two periods. And then all of a sudden when Vanek scored in the third, the floodgates opened and it was celebration time. Mm-hmm. I remember that well. Mm.
Yeah. Mm. Well, I mean, you're talking about star players being star players.
Yep.
And I think the thing for the Gophers is what Jimmy Snuggerud's going to show up.
Yes, please.
You know, Jimmy Snuggerud is one of the better pure scorers in college hockey. And if he shows up and plays like he cares and plays impactfully,
mm-hmm.
the Gophers should be, one would think they would be in pretty good shape.
Mm-hmm.
If he shows up looking like a player that is thinking, I can't wait for this season to be over with so I can join the Blues, it'll be a quick exit.
Yep. Like,
although, I mean, they do have other talent. I mean, it's not like it's just Jimmy Snuggerud and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
They obviously have a lot of other weapons on the team, but to me, in those big games, that's when those players shine.
Mm-hmm.
And Jimmy Snuggerud, if they're going to come out of that bracket and make it to another Frozen Four, he has to be impactful. Even if he doesn't score, he has to be dangerous enough that he generates shots that either create other opportunities for people or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But if he goes out there and is just a body and we don't ever hear his name, it's probably not going to go well for the Golden Gophers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's a fear. That's a huge fear, because that's kind of, I don't know, that just kind of feels like a Minnesota type of thing, I hate to say.
Mm-hmm.
Like, maybe get to the second round or something and that's it, which I hope not. I remember a couple of years ago when we were finally becoming a tournament team again, it was Minnesota State again, just slaughtered us in the second round. I was like, ah, that went very quick.
With their team full of 25-year-olds?
Yeah, yep. They're kind of like a Union, like how Union was like older players like that.
Older guys.
Yeah, very gritty, you know, we want this. We want this more, get out of here, little boys, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Skilled, but you know, whatever it was, like I don't even know. I better stay off the comparisons. He'll probably screw that up somehow.
No,
no, I'm just kidding.
but that's kind of a classic argument about, you know, whether you take. And again, I know it's impossible for probably almost any university to want to say no to like blue chip talent, but
yeah,
you know, for a team like Minnesota State. You know, when they were these older veteran college players, for those guys, a lot of them recognize that moment is their Stanley Cup.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is going to be the pinnacle of their hockey career, and they're going to put it all on the line. Whereas, you know, a team like the Minnesota Golden Gophers with, you know, all these NHL drafted players, that's not their Stanley Cup. You know, they're hoping to play for a Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
And for them, they're looking, a lot of them are looking at that next future. They're looking at that contract. They're looking at joining an NHL team maybe even a week later.
Yes,
You know, it's a different Often. Kind of mindset. It's a different kind of mindset. I mean, look at, I mean, I know these days, this day and age is over, but I mean, think of what it was like for all of our guys on that Miracle on Ice team in 80. For them, that was their moment.
Yes.
You know, some of them, a few of them had other moments, but most of them didn't. You know, that was their moment. For Mike Arruzzoni, that was the pinnacle right there. For Jim Craig, that was the pinnacle right there.
Yes, big time.
You know, like I said, some of them had opportunities beyond that, but for a lot of them, that was it. And again, that's not to slight that or make it sound menial.
No.
But for them, there is something to be said for people fighting for that moment. You know, you're only going to get once.
Yeah, it's that hunger and desire. It has to be there rather than just thinking of rather than thinking of like the next level.
Yeah.
You always have to play like a fourth liner, I guess. Well, while playing like a top liner. You want a little of both. Yep, go ahead.
Well, maybe we should just cut to the chase on this and say...
Yeah, absolutely.
What's your prediction?
For the national champion?
Let's pick teams for each of the brackets to advance.
Okay, yeah.
And then we can go from there, so...
So, like, Boston, Michigan Tech... Boston College. Then,
you think Boston College is going to advance out of that region?
Probably, yeah. Yeah, they'll get past Wisconsin and Quinnipiac. I think so, yes. I'll say yes, whether I like it or not. Yeah.
I'll agree with you there. I'll say the Eagles fly in that one.
Fly, Eagle, fly. Michigan State, Michigan Tech, North Dakota, and Michigan. You know what this reeks of? North Dakota.
That would be a hilarious spoiler.
That's pretty much what happened. Remember when you had three Minnesota teams in the Frozen Four, and then Massachusetts wins. I was laughing so hard. It was like, oh my god, this is funny. I think it's North Dakota. Just to, you know, I mean, obviously they have all
fighting
the
fighting Hawks.
Yep. Okay. I hate them. But yes.
I'll tell you what, I'm gonna go against that. I'm gonna say Michigan.
That would be good. I mean, I would prefer that.
it's nothing to do with like a hatred of like North Dakota.
No,
I just think that Michigan will have that that loss of the Big Ten tournament in their craw.
Yeah,
and of course it's their arch rival that did it. So
State. Yep.
I think they're gonna be primed and determined, and I think it'll be a thriller in that regional final. But I think the Wolverines will go on, unfortunately.
Yeah, they do have the best power play in the country, right? Yeah, it's like crazy, like some like nuts number, like 30% or something.
Yeah,
something we can only dream of. But then you get.
I was going to say, Minnesota angle on that one. I think it's Grant Shifsky out of Andover. He's been an absolute stud for the Wolverines this year. That's a name he could become a household name nationally if he has a big tournament. Okay, next bracket.
Yep, the next one is Denver, Massachusetts, Maine, Cornell, all of those guys. This one, it depends on how hungry Maine is, how ready they are. Otherwise, it reeks of Denver. It kind of always is. But, of course, in these tournaments, there's always that devil's advocate. I'll go with Maine.
Going with the Black Bears.
Okay.
It's been a while for them. They're due.
That's what I'm thinking.
I'm going to say Denver.
Yeah.
And it's not because Minnesota Wild have a prospect on there.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Rieger Lawrence, who has had a pretty good sophomore year. I'm going with the Boohum brothers.
Okay.
Shai Boohum, who I think, I don't remember who drafted him, but his younger brother, Zeev, is one of the top prospect defensemen. He looks like kind of another Quinn Hughes kind of player.
Mm-hmm.
Really talented offensive defenseman, great puck mover. And I think those two will be an absolute handful mm-hmm. for anybody else in that bracket. And I think the Pioneers will go on.
And yeah, it's more than likely the scenario. It's history's on their side. Just overall program strength, it's been on mm-hmm. their side forever. They're legendary. Whether I like them or not, kind of like a North Dakota, I suppose. Yep. Sorry, I'm clicking on some stuff here. Let's get back to where we need to be. Sorry. And then finally, the Gophers won, of course. Boston University, RIT, Minnesota, Omaha. Should I step out in faith? Should I do it? Should I step out in faith? I want to so much. I think, see, the one confidence I have is how the Gophers managed to get past Boston U last year. That's the one thing I have. I'll go Homer, I guess. I'm not trying to be the Homer type, but I have a feeling the Gophers do get to the Frozen Four. I'm probably crazy, but it's more of stepping out in faith more than anything that I'm trying to be smart about it. But obviously, RIT, I don't think they'll get past Boston U. I want to believe the Gophers can get past Omaha. They're probably going to have there's going to be some scary moments in the game, I'm sure, tonight at 8:30 p.m. for people wondering. Thursday on ESPNU or, the app will hook you up one way or another, I'm sure, especially if you have ESPN Plus. Gophers, though, I do believe they survive somehow, some way, to get to the Xcel Energy Center.
This is a tough one.
I probably shouldn't.
I'm torn. Oh, it's fine. Well, obviously Minnesota is the heartstring pick, the Homer pick.
Yep.
For the life of me, I hate to say this, but mm-hmm. I think we're going to hear John Buchagross screaming Macklin Celebrini every 2 seconds
mm-hmm.
because I think Boston is going to come out of this section.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it'll be incessant. It'll be just like he was with Cale Makar, where you were not even before you got halfway through the first period, you wanted to shut the TV off or at least mute it just because you were so tired of him gushing over every little thing he did.
Yeah.
That's what I think's going to happen.
It wouldn't surprise me. It wouldn't surprise me. It sounds like national call, national TV. That's what it sounds like to me, more than the Gophers, unfortunately. Even though Gophers have good history generally, but I don't know. Mm. It's up and down. It would be cool to have Maine and Minnesota again going at it, but and of all places, the Xcel Energy Center too.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's like 20 years later kind of thing.
Yeah. Yep. Slightly more. Yeah. 22.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy? In the Frozen Four, who do I have? Boston College and who the heck did I have? North Dakota. Yep.
And then you had Maine.
Yep.
And then you had Minnesota.
Yep. I think North Dakota goes to the championship game. I'm probably crazy, but what the heck? That's what it's all about, right?
Yep.
And then
I'm gonna
go ahead.
Okay. No, go ahead.
And then this sounds as Minnesota as it gets. Maine beats us.
Oh,
isn't that terrible? It sounds as Minnesota as it gets. I mean, it would be an amazing final, though. North Dakota and Maine. That does sound like Minnesota to me, though. It does. Or we get to the like we blow it against Maine, 3-2, close game.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah.
So for me, I had Boston College and Michigan, and then I had Denver and Boston. So I'm going to say Michigan beats Boston College in a big upset.
Cool. Oh.
And then I'm going to unfortunately say that Boston U beats Denver in a tight one.
Ooh.
And then it's Boston U and Michigan.
Yep.
and Michigan wins.
Michigan wins the natty, huh? No. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I forgot to even pick a natty. Jeez, what did I have? North Dakota and Maine. Maine.
Black Bears versus Fighting Hawks.
Maine. They're gonna what do they call it? Exercise the demons of Xcel Energy Center and heal a wound of 22 years.
That'd be pretty cool.
Wouldn't that be something?
The question would be how many people are gonna be there to see it.
Yep. They'll be like, I don't wanna see this, right?
I mean, I'm sure even the planning folks for the Frozen Four, when they noticed there was only one Minnesota team in it, mm-hmm. when you have Minnesota hosting a Frozen Four,
yeah,
kind of like, mm-hmm.
yep,
you know, instead of five teams or four teams,
yeah, yeah, but back to reality setting in, right?
yep,
basically. Yep, yeah. So we have teams with M's in the championship game and winning it. Well, winning the championship game, but unfortunately neither of us have Minnesota. Boy, do I want to say that. And last year I would have said it, of course, and it was pretty close. It was it wouldn't have been a bad pick. It just didn't work out because of Bob Motzko's fault, damn it.
Got to pack it in that third period.
Ugh.
Circle the wagons, boys.
Mm-hmm. That's circle the wagons. Yep, Tom Hayden. No, I'm just kidding. No, to me, that's one of the forgive the pun main reasons why I think they won't win the national championship. It's just I don't know the mentality of the championship mentality is lacking for some reason.
Play not to lose instead of playing to win.
Yes. Yep. Very Zimmer like the last couple of years. Yep. Mike Zimmer. Mm-hmm. Oh, give the kid a break. Yeah, whereas like a year before, it was like, you saw the game.
No.
Oh, there I go, being crazy. So, shall we jump into fan interaction? Yes.
Sounds great.
Yep. So, @BraveTheWild is your X, Twitter, post, whatever the heck it is. SpaceX. It is, that's where we go. And when you want to make your question, comment, and all that, #BTWMN, and then I can simply click on latest and have everything in chronological order. It makes it much easier for any podcast host. Derek Belska also does Crease and Assist. Derek does Crease and Assist, so it's #CreasePodcast, right?
Yep.
That's when you want to...
CREASE podcast, yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and that way it just keeps things organized. It's easier, right? So... chronological order is important, in my opinion. I showed the bracket. There was a response, and you said, "Yep, the bracket looks fair enough." Yep, this is the Derek Felska lightning round, as I like to call it.
Yeah.
Gopher fans should be happy. It's in South Dakota. Just win, and everything takes care of itself. And yeah, I hope they do. I hope they do. I hope they prove us all wrong and they're champions. So, where are we going? Steve Snyder says, since we know next year will be a lot of the same, what's the 25-26 roster look like? Will this team be ready to truly contend for the playoffs? Seems like we'll be quite young and could need time to figure it out. Hopefully, in my opinion, it's these next 2 years make a difference a bit in terms of some roster turnover. Especially by 25-26, because, there won't be that much turnover, will there? But there'll be some more cap space, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we kind of maybe already kind of answered part of that in the fact that I think there's a lot more older contracts than maybe people generally perceive. I mean, I think we found that there was 13 roster spots that were still going to be taken up 2 years from now already.
Yep.
And, you know, what does that represent? You know, that represents a good portion of your top six. That represents most of your defensemen, you know, a good portion of that as well. And so the question is what spots are open for the young players to play, you know, whether it's, you know, Danila Yurov, who I think is probably, I would think at this point, the most exciting skater we have in our prospect pool.
Yeah.
You know, that's really the next potential game breaker. But then, you know, the Liam Ogrens, the Murat Kuznetdinovs, like, where are they going to get a chance to play, mm-hmm. given what spots are already kind of filled up? So, unfortunately, I don't think we'll look. I don't think we'll be quite as reshaped as much as some people hope, because we've locked into so many deals, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's like I really wish we could. I mean, the hope is that some players will be willing to waive their new move clause. Hopefully, some of them will be able to, and they won't say screw you, I'm staying. I mean, you would think, especially if you have a chance to go to the Colorado Avalanche, the whoever, you know, the Dallas Stars, God forbid. Why not? You know, why not go on a playoff run and enjoy yourself in maybe a warmer climate or whatever the situation is. The Florida Panthers, that'd be a nice place to be right now. Ryan Harmon, Marcus Foligno.
Well, I think the important add-on question to that is, mm-hmm. after 2 years from now, is there enough on this team to make Kirill Kaprizov wanting to stick around?
That's the elephant in the room,
too. Between the players that are here and the players that, at least by what we can tell, are going to be here, is that going to be enough for him to say, you know what, I want to stick around and I want to see where this goes?
Mm-hmm.
Or is he going to be like, Niet?
Niet.
Yeah. Niet. I'm out of here.
Mm-hmm.
No. Been there, done that, seen that, not good enough.
Yeah, that's kind of how we feel right now. That's kind of a, right.
I mean, he's kind of dancing past the peak of his career right now,
mm-hmm.
into that slow twilight, and after this contract, he basically has the opportunity to go and decide where he wants to go try to win a cup.
Mm-hmm.
And will he think that we're the team that's going to be in position to do that?
Mm-hmm.
And unless he believes it, I don't think he signs here. Mm-hmm. Otherwise,
it depends on
the person that, the money they're going to throw at him, but you're going to have to throw a crazy amount of money at him.
Like 12. Oh God.
And we were already talking about how tough it is to hold it,
with Faber.
To spend $9 million on Faber.
Yep.
Do you really want to give Kaprizov $12 million a season?
No, probably not.
But you may have to unless you want to let him go.
Yeah. We're in trouble. It's like, yep. You're hoping. Yep, and obviously, mm-hmm. the super prospects that we've been talking about, the Urofs and such, that hopefully they can reach their potential. Otherwise, Morty jumps in. He says, or is it Mort or Morty? I often go with Morty, I guess.
I think he's fine with either.
Okay, yeah, a North Star fan. Yep, and I'm happy that he's been interacting more. That's awesome. He says, hopefully fewer injuries should help, especially D, and with no Merrill or Golikoski, that would help too. In my opinion, if Urof comes over, it will be a huge boost. Hopefully we trade/give away a player or two. Yes, please. And kids take their spots. Cough. Freddie and JoJo. Yes, please.
Yeah.
So we're not going to miss them too much.
Problem is, I don't think Marcus Johansson you might be able to give away,
mm-hmm.
although he does have trade protection.
Yeah.
But Freddie Goudreau doesn't, but who wants him? I mean,
that's, yep.
that's like the scene from Uncle Buck where Macaulay Culkin asks, would you like to discuss a trade? And everyone backs away from the table.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of thing,
yep.
we're trying to trade. A player that, unless Dean Evans is coaching the team, I can't think of that there's going to be a lot of interested parties wanting a disappointing $2.1 million player,
mm-hmm.
That's on a contract for the next 4 years.
Yeah. And I think that's another one LaPanta talked about, how he's nice to have, at least as a fourth line guy,
Yeah. He scored 18 goals 2 years ago.
Remember? Yeah. Who's to say he can't do it again? Now, come on, Russo.
Yeah, no. When I was at Kowalski's, I was thinking about it.
Yep, that's that. Buy a Kowalski's now. Yep, a million Kowalski's ads. I love that.
I was having my Akaushi steak. I was thinking about that.
Mm-hmm. It's affordable stuff, right, that we can all...
Yeah, $85 a pound.
It's like, why do we even have to... Yeah, it's like... Excuse me, I'm like coughing myself here. I was like trying to, like, yeah, let's get Connor McDavid while we're at it, too. That's about what that's about what that kind of steak is to me. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. So Jay Bushy jumps in, says, what's your thoughts for goaltenders next season and beyond? Russo has said there are at least three options for next season.
Hmm.
See if there's a... Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, the option, the simple option is you okay?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm okay. I just dropped something.
Okay. You got, you keep, obviously you have Gustafson already under contract for two more years. You then find a way to sign Marc-Andre Fleury, who seems to still have game,
mm-hmm.
to a relatively cheap deal. And you keep going with the tandem that you have, and you leave Wallstedt in Iowa as the undisputed number one, which he has been this season too, and hopefully with a better team he can enjoy more success.
Yes,
that's one option.
Mm-hmm.
Two, you decide, you know what, Gustafson isn't the guy. We
yeah.
like Fleury, and you re-sign Fleury to a cheap deal, jettison Gustafson for whatever you can get, and then you promote Wallstedt up to that backup spot, and you say, okay, Mark, this is your chance to mentor a young goalie and yet play also, you know, do your, you know, be the Jedi Master for our young Padawan. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other option would be, sorry, Mark, it's been nice, but we need to move on. And you let Mark go off into the sunset, whether that's with another team or retirement. Whatever it be, and you say, okay, let's go with the two Swedes and go with Gustafson and Wallstedt.
Mm-hmm.
Where Gustafson's still the primary go-to guy, and Wallstedt's more probably a backup, at least in his first year. Then maybe if he shows he's capable enough or ready enough, maybe the year after that it's more of a 50-50 rotation,
mm-hmm.
kind of like what you had with Fleury and Gustafson for a while. You know, I think those are basically are probably the three options that exist.
Yeah, it has to be. Yeah.
You know, I guess really it all matters to the Wild is how do you project Gustafson right now? Do you think his regression is just a one-off, or do you feel that, you know, hey, it's this regression's real. It's likely this is just what he is. So maybe we need to think about a different plan. And one of the things I've heard that's interesting about Wallstedt, at least Russo's mentioned it, I haven't heard it from other places, is there has been some criticism about Jesper Wallstedt's conditioning level.
Mm.
And the other thing that's interesting with that is when you think about Phil Gustin, that was kind of one of the knocks on him when he came to the team last year, that he was not necessarily in really good shape.
Mm-hmm.
So do you want a fellow Swede who has his own maybe fitness issues to be teaching another kid with fitness issues?
Mm.
as opposed to Marc-Andre Fleury, who everything I've ever heard about the guy is that he is always in
yes.
immaculate condition, you know, the pro's pro. So who would you rather have him tutor, right?
Yeah.
Or who would you rather have
be the
tutor in this
yeah.
case?
Yeah, Marc-Andre Fleury, yeah.
So that's kind of the question. But, of course, you know, Marc-Andre is 39.
That's the other side, yeah.
You know, we're not talking about a three-year-old guy. He's 39,
yeah,
and again,
I wish.
I realize for you and me, that's a youngin.
Yeah,
that's a spring chicken.
Yep, he's not too
but
old.
But for NHL, that's pretty, you know, gray beard, you know,
yeah.
kind of way to look at things. Although mm-hmm. he still looks very young. He still seems to be young at heart and all the rest of that. But, you know, how long can your body go with that? So, yeah. Obviously, Marc-Andre Fleury is not a long-term solution.
No.
But at the same time, you know, maybe you might think that he's the better mentor for a young future number one in Jesper Wallstedt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he'd definitely be the better choice, generally, between those two as an actual, him being, of course, Marc-Andre Fleury, would be a better choice to be the mentor for Jesper Wallstedt. But, yeah, I mean, at the age, like, when is he going to hit that magical wall that a lot of us tend to hit when we get a bit older, unfortunately? That's the thing. That's the thing.
The only thing I would also add to this is that if you were to extend Marc-Andre Fleury, you actually have to give him no trade protection because he's over 35 years old. So,
oh, yeah, that's in the, yeah.
You know, while his health, knock on wood, has been good, you know, you also don't want to push it. I don't think you're going to want to use him for 60-plus starts as a 39- or 40-year-old goalie.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, you know, you already have a goaltender that's signed for 2 years. You know, on a convenience level, you already know the cost certainty of what Gustafson's going to cost you. You don't know what it's going to cost to make Fleury say, hey, let's give it one more kick at the can, or two more years, you know. You don't know what that cost might be. I don't think he's going to ask a lot, but you don't really know what he's going to ask for either. Mm. Or maybe he doesn't. Maybe he's already decided, I'm done.
Yeah, that's possible. And in a lot of ways, it's better to go out on top rather than the possibility of, oh boy,
being a shadow of what you used to be. Of course.
Yep, that magical. Yeah, like a lot of players, they play that one extra year where they shouldn't have. They you know, they've said it about so many star players over the years, even going way back to Harmon Killebrew playing with the Kansas City Royals. It's like, it's nice if you want to play immaculate grid, like two, you know, a twin Royal, but that's about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's sad, you know, and it's not just because he played with the Royals, but he was a shell of himself. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Dominique Wilkins playing with Orlando. It's like, what? Yeah. Averaging about 4 points in 8 minutes a game. Oh, Lord, that hurts. I love that guy. But, sorry. Yep, we'll keep rolling here. Keep it rolling. Let's see, where is... but no, those are good information for sure. Okay, here we go. The Derek Filskill lightning round hath returned, as I say. Okay, yep. It's, what are your top five Minnesota Wild moments of all time? Luke Sims responds with Granlund dive goal in Game 3 versus Arizona circa 2014-ish. Interesting. excuse me.
I think he said Colorado.
Colorado? Oh, that's Colorado. Yeah, right. Sorry, that's not Arizona. It says Avs. Sorry. Top five Minnesota Wild moments of all time? Number one, obviously, the Darby Hendrickson goal to put the Wild into the conference final. Right?
Okay.
Yeah. Number two.
Game 7 against the Canucks, yep.
Yeah, because that put us in the, Vancouver.
Big slap shot.
That was unbelievable. Oh, I was so excited. I couldn't sleep because, oh my God, we're in the West Finals against, and now we have home ice advantage. It's, you know.
Miraculously.
And then, yeah, as a sixth seed.
It's the number six seed, yep.
We get the seventh seed.
It's the number eight, wasn't it? The eighth seed.
It's either eight or eight seven, seeded, yeah.
Eight seed Mighty Ducks, yeah.
And then, of course, we get swept because we can't protect home ice in the playoffs. And that's been the story ever since. So that's
we couldn't beat the Michelin man that was John Sebastian Jaguar.
Oh, that was annoying. Yeah, he was unsolvable. Like that was painful. That overtime 1-0 game.
Yeah.
Oh.
One goal for the whole series.
It was ridiculous.
Cliff Ronning, baby.
Cliff Ronning, there he is.
Don't pay that guy.
Nope, it's an extra $100,000. To us, it's money, but I don't know. It's pro sports, guys. Come on. 100,000, 116 or something, you said.
That's like change to this pro sports world.
Yes, big time. So number two, of course, is it literally is changed, like literally.
Yeah.
But dimes. But no, number two, of course, is the Andrew Brunette goal, one of my favorite players in Wild history. I'll have to call it as the Andrew Brunette goal, right? Versus the Avalanche for the youngsters. Number three, Kirill Kaprizov arriving in Minnesota.
Okay.
Ah, that was wonderful. You know, number four, the buyouts of Ryan Suter and Zach Parise. Just because, not because it's made us better or anything, but just to be able to move on. That might be kind of weird and crazy, but and number five, because our playoff history sucks. Well, wait. I'll get rid of that one. Need a writer. What was I? Number three? Oh, now my phone is up. Yeah.
Well, you're at five. You're at five right now.
Oh, so I can back up. So I started with Vancouver. Number two is Colorado. Number three, Kaprizov. Number four, I'll play Niederreiter instead of the buyouts.
Okay.
And then number five, it's between the buyouts and the firing of Chuck Fletcher. I mean, the firing of Risebrough, excuse me. Risebrough.
Oh, Mr. Doug?
Yeah, I was so happy. I'm going to go with that. I was so happy. Yeah. Dumpster dog.
Well, it's interesting you bring up, because you had like negative moments in there.
Yeah.
And I'm not slighting that, because I was putting these together yesterday, and I was talking to my wife about it, Teresa, and she's like, "Well, do they have to be good moments?"
No.
and I'm like, you know, I never thought about that. I was only thinking of like relatively positive things, so all mine are positive.
Yeah.
Which is funny because I'm kind of a pessimist, but
Doug getting fired was positive. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, addition by subtraction, as they say.
Yeah.
So all mine are literally goals. So
okay.
Number five. So we'll do this David Letterman style. I'll go from number five to number one.
Mm-hmm.
Marian Gaborik's 5-goal game.
Yes.
That in 2007 against the Rangers. Which was pretty amazing. He just about did the whole cycle too. Wasn't quite there, but I don't think he had a shorthanded goal. But it was just crazy. He could have had a sixth one, but Steven Valiquette stopped him. yeah, he had a chance for six in that game, which is insane.
Yeah, that's freaking crazy.
and then number four was Richard Parkes' game six goal in overtime, which. That's one of like two moments where I feel like,
oops,
I've never heard it louder in the X. Like the crowd reaction to that goal was just crazy. You know,
that was awesome.
The only other times I ever heard it louder was when the Gophers won the national title.
With the
two goals from Matt Kowalska and Grant Patolny.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe a shootout goal. By like Brian Rolston when he blasted a slap shot. That's the only time I've ever heard that loud.
Excuse me.
And then number three was Mikael Granlund's leaping goal, like that had already been mentioned.
Mm-hmm,
kind of
yeah.
Bobby Orr style.
Mm-hmm.
That was in 2014 against the Colorado Avalanche.
That was a
And then in that same series, Nino Niederreiter's goal to win it, which I just thought was great. Mm-hmm. And then my number one moment is Andrew Brunette's goal.
Yeah.
I just feel like that, it was so improbable.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was in an era before the salary cap. Like, we had a $16 million roster. Our whole roster was $16 million. Okay? And we were going against the Avalanche, which had a roster that was almost $100 million. I mean, it was David versus Goliath.
Literally,
And literally... With his little stone, he slayed the ugly giant that was Patrick Waugh.
Yes.
And we somehow won. Like, I remember running out of my apartment at night screaming.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably one of the greatest sports moments that I can remember vividly, just because it was so insane and unexpected, you know? And if you watch that game, Minnesota... looked like we were holding on to the grim of the whole team.
That was terrifying.
Only to win with that little you know, that slow motion. It was that move's almost in slow motion because Andrew Burnett's not a fast player.
Yeah.
And then he dangles it around Waugh, and you could tell he was even surprised it worked.
Yeah, he was. He had that, oh my God, you know.
Yep, exactly.
And I just sat there. Yeah.
Yeah. It was, I mean, that was a rare moment where you saw Jacques Lemaire smile.
I love that.
On the bench. He clapped.
Yeah.
For the team.
Yeah.
I
love that
guy. He was one and all. Yeah. Probably his proudest moment of his career, I would imagine. Mm-hmm. Or at least as a coach.
Oh, it had to be.
Me and my friend Paul were, you know, we were watching it, the whole thing, of course. And just that, yeah, that grin and the smile that we got, that was hilarious, I thought. But also, just the moment what happened, I'm like, they're going to disallow. Yeah, I was like, oh, no, that's some kind of, like, he was this or that, like, in the crease or whatever. Something. They're going to call something. Well, that's not a goal. And then it's like, what?
I remember in the afterward, it was Darren Pang chastising the fans for throwing shit on the ice.
Oh, geez. Because
it was at Colorado. It was at Pepsi Center.
Mm-hmm.
And they were throwing crap on the ice. And he's like, people should be doing that.
Darren Pang them.
It was, you know, like I said, I think they were the Minnesota Wild were the only team, or they were the only ones that believed in themselves. I don't think any of us thought that was going to happen, and that's what makes it so special.
Yeah.
And like you said, you know, the next series was the same way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even after beating Goliath, they only had to go against another Titan that was the Vancouver Canucks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and again, same situation, you know, trailing three to one
mm-hmm.
to come back, and the beautiful thing about the Canucks comeback was that we kicked their ass three games in a row,
mm-hmm.
like kicked their ass, like what is it, like 7-2, 5-2, and like 4-2, I think was the last one.
Yeah, that was a close game.
We beat them down.
Mm-hmm.
You know. As opposed to the Colorado one, it was a complete nail biter finish.
Yeah, that was. So. It's like, yep, they're gonna score and beat us. It was a nice effort, but you know, one of those mm-hmm. classic, like great effort, but you know, moral victories. Yeah, I mean, yep. So we jump to the next one.
Sure.
But no, that was amazing memories, amazing. Especially that was what a hated rival Vancouver truly was.
So, big time.
Yeah. So the next of the lightning round is GM Bill Guerin is telling players who miss the NHL playoffs who want to have a chance to play on the Olympic team should not just pass on playing in the World Championships in late spring, citing a need for commitment. Do we have this in Minnesota? I'm having a hard time. Do you want to jump in? I'm sorry, I'm kind of...
No, I was going to say, just to clarify,
yeah.
I kind of wonder, like, he's demanding that the players have this commitment in order to play for the Olympic team. In other words, it sounds he wants them to play together through multiple international tournaments so that when they go to the Olympics, they're a team that's played together. They're not, like... a bunch of random people you threw together and they don't know each other very well and there's no chemistry. I think he believes that's the key to being a Stanley Cup Olympic winner.
Yeah, gold medal.
I mean, that's the advantage of the, you know, for a world junior success. You look at them, those are kids that played together,
mm-hmm.
you know, on the U.S. national development team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these aren't kids just, I mean, sure, there's a few kids that come from outside that, but most of them are national development team players, and that's why we've been so good at that international tournament.
Mm-hmm.
No. So I guess the question is, are we as committed here in Minnesota?
It doesn't. Yeah. It's like. It's like they're committed to being here and getting a paycheck. That's what it feels like. That's mm-hmm. what it feels like, doesn't it? They're being here. The lame answer of have fun and work hard or whatever. Work hard, have fun. that lame answer that Spurgeon had a while back.
Yeah.
And then certain guys said, F that, we're about Thing winning.
Yep.
I wish we were. I wish we were. It seems like we're about Thing comfort.
Yep.
Right?
We're about hanging out.
We're about hanging out. We're about Thing being in the hunt. Mm-hmm. We're about being in the hunt, except having Damon Hunt, which I think should be here. That's the only hunt I'm interested in is Damon Hunt. I'd rather have him on the Wild than, you know, pretending we're in a playoff hunt right now.
Mm-hmm.
Damn it, anyway. Okay, sorry. No, but yeah, that's a good one. Huh? So, are you late for the tennis practice?
No.
Okay.
I pushed the practice to noon.
Oh, okay. Oh, is it just like another hour? Okay. Okay, I'll keep sliding. Sorry. But no, that's a good question for sure. Because do we have it? The next one is, the Minnesota Wild have been signing a number of prospects the last 2 weeks, including Kumpalainen. I love that name. Heitz, Kuznetsov, and Pert. Which one do you think has the biggest potential to make an impact next season? Right now, it probably has to be Kuznetsov. Is it Kumpalainen? Do you see him being close to the NHL? I think he's probably just Iowa, right? And then Height. Height is at that young age where it's either NHL or juniors, right? Unfortunately.
Yep.
And then Pert is 100% AHL, and hopefully he's not stuck in a cesspool of defensemen that are talented but struggling. You know, it's been a cesspool this year. That's what I'm terrified of, like the Lambos, Aurora, you know, minus this, minus that. That's what I'm hoping. So it has to be Kuznetsov, unless like the wild card of all, the ace in the hole, as they like to say, Riley Height somehow shocks the world.
Mm-hmm. Because I would agree with you there. I think Kuznetsov probably is the best overall. You're looking at like odds or percentages.
Yeah,
he's your favorite to probably at least be the most likely to have a shot.
Yeah,
I think Height is maybe intriguing because you hope that he could somehow show that he's on some level of like accelerated development.
Yeah,
that he
translate
can step in as a younger player. But I would think he would have to have a pretty damn impressive camp to do that. I mean, he would really have to show a lot to be that. I mean, he I don't know. I think they would.
Excuse me.
I think if anything, they're going to want him to continue to get bigger and stronger.
Yes.
And usually, Major Junior doesn't usually have the best reputation for getting that. You know, kind of adding that strength.
Mm-hmm.
College players get a little more credit for that because there's so much. There's more time between the games. And not only that, the training facilities at Division I campuses are just so incredible nowadays. You know, they have access to literally a professional level weight room all the time. Mm-hmm. Some of the junior ones, it looks like it's like your local Lifetime Fitness at best that they have access to. So I think they would probably, you know, I think it's more likely that Kuznetsov is going to be a guy on the roster next year. Height might get the 9-game cup of coffee kind of thing, but I think it would be a long shot for him to make it. Again.
Yeah, I think so.
I'd love to be proven wrong.
Me too. I would love to be proven wrong on that one. I hope so, but yeah, obviously it's unfortunately a long shot at best, especially, you know, and it's whenever a player can translate from juniors to pros, they usually end up being something, usually. But if that happens, then we may have ourselves something magical, and good for us. Great for us if that's the case. Looks like Stephen Miller has a response. Brand Steve. Yeah. Yep. He says, appears to have the higher ceiling. And that's pretty much, I agree with that. But will he even play for the Minnesota Wild next year or will return to the CHL? Yep. After his tryout. If Height plays the 9-game NHL tryout, then goes back to the CHL, then Marat, otherwise Height. Okay, yeah, that sounds about what I'm thinking as well. Obviously, Marat is like the safe pick, and then Height is the, you know, is the lottery ticket that wins.
Yeah. He's your trifecta.
He's your trifecta. Yep, there you go. Yep. You bring it home. You bring home the big bucks with Riley Heights. I'm sorry, I tend to go with accents all over the place. Yeah, hoping the best with Purd. I think there's something there, definitely. It's just, how long will it take? Tom Hand, who says, circle the wagons. No, I'm just kidding. I love when he says that. Tom Hand jumps in, says, but seeing a lot of posts about the 20, been seeing a lot of posts about the 25-26 season and what the roster could look like, do you suspect the folks haven't taken a look to see who on the current roster is already locked in for 25-26? Going to be a lot of aged players on that squad. Yep. Wouldn't that make Foligno 34, 35-ish? Oh, boy. And then the quote-unquote young guy who isn't 30, he'll be 32, 33 already. So mm-hmm. It's sad but true, right? The quote-unquote young guy, Ryan Hartman, yeah.
Yeah, there's gonna be Metamucil on that roster.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mixing with Gatorade or Powerade.
Mm-hmm. Geritol. Sorry.
The old Ensure cans.
Mm-hmm.
For those like the vanilla Ensure cans that they're using there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know. I think. On paper, when we started, obviously, and we already mentioned this probably ad nauseum, but we had space. There was an opportunity to go with a more youthful roster makeup, but that's not what we locked ourselves into.
Mm-hmm.
And the interesting thing will be to see, not that this really matters, but, you know, all those people that were so happy to see us keep those guys around, will they then turn on those guys when now suddenly the young player or two that they like is now blocked out because, well, we got to play this guy because
he's here.
We still have him on contract for another couple years and he has a no movement clause.
It's pure genius. Oh my god. Oh my god. Yeah, it's. It's a sad truth. It really is. And just again, hoping and praying that somehow, some way, moves can be made like one by one here coming up in the next year and a half. I am praying. So the lightning round continues. Oh, this is interesting. Here we go. If NHL 94, Blades of Steel, and NES Ice Hockey are absolute classics, what is the worst hockey video game you have ever played? Dan Winnesota looks like, yep, he's our buddy there. Yep, Activision. Looks like Activision Hockey, where...
Yeah, Activision Ice Hockey for the Atari 2600.
Okay, is that the one where you pass the puck and then, like, you have the stick, and then the only time you have the stick is when the player has the puck? I think that's the one. So funny. It's so funny. Oh, it looks like you pass the stick, too. I remember the AVGN had a joke about that one. I think that was in television, but maybe it's the same game, but, like, the Atari version of it. I think, yeah, because Activision was one of those third parties. Yep, oh, I love getting into retro. So, worst hockey game I've ever played? I don't know if I really... probably something along that line. That's probably a good choice. Because it's like, yeah, there's just nothing to it. It's like, you know, 2-on-2 hockey with... I don't even... you know, it's silliness. So, it's probably that one, too. I think I'm going to agree with Dan. Do you have one?
The only thing I would say about Activision Ice Hockey, though, it had one of the best commercials, though.
Mm.
It starred Phil Hartman.
Mm-hmm.
It was, like, before he was famous, and he's in the commercial, and he goes way over the top, and it's hysterical. And my wife actually posted that to Dan Winnesota in response.
Oh, okay.
We have kind of a warm spot for that one.
Mm.
Anyways, my worst hockey game that I can remember playing, and I've played them all, going all the way back to hockey, which was the original, like, the inverse of Pong.
Okay, yeah.
That was my first video game was Pong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too.
And then hockey. That's how old I am. Anyways, the worst game I ever remember playing was Wayne Gretzky 3D Hockey for the N64. it was kind of like, it was made by Williams, and it was kind of trying to be like a 3-on-3 NBA Jam for hockey, and you have kind of a side view of it, and it's pretty bad.
Yeah, that sounds terrible. I never, what was it again? It was called,
Wayne Gretzky 3D Hockey.
Oh, okay.
For the N64, my ex fiance's brother had that, and I remember playing that at his house a couple times.
Yuck.
this is back when I was in college.
Yeah.
And it was pretty ugly, and most any game I've ever played, if I felt any kind of kinship to the game whatsoever, I've gone back and picked up.
Mm-hmm.
I will not get that game.
No, me neither. I would. Nope. That sounds Hard horrible. Pass. That sounds horrible.
Well, I mean, it's an okay idea. I mean, it's really probably like NHL Hits before NHL Hits,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of that arcadey where you hit a guy and you like launch him to the boards kind of stuff, but they mm-hmm. like go absolutely flying, and you know. But if you're looking for hockey, it's trash. It just is.
Yeah, it sounds like I would never touch it. Yeah, and. A whole nother can of worms. I've never been an N64 fan, honestly. Which, yeah. They're like, how dare you call yourself the host of Video Game Flashback, right? That's the one system I'm like, I don't know. it's the Miller Lite of there goes that sponsor, right? It's the Miller Lite of video game systems. Very popular, but I don't like it. Damn it.
it's the Michelob Ultra.
Yep. Yeah. There you go. It's like hell no, right? No. Yeah. It's ultra awful. No.
You may call it beer, but it's not beer.
No, correct. Correct. It's anything but. So, yep, one more final one, and it is video game related, which is awesome. You excuse me, now I'm stammering. You use video game music to describe Minnesota Wild's previous week. Which song would you use to describe the play of 89 or 90? That would be... Goudreau and Mr. Johansson.
Mm-hmm.
Oh boy! here we go. Final Fantasy VI. So great game, of course. Just the Dark World song, when it's, you know, before anything good happens, you're just like that dun 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 dun. It's like extremely depressing. I don't know.
Same.
If I could, maybe if I edit, I'll squeeze that in, but I don't know, for the sake of time, I don't know if I can, but I'll throw it in somewhere sometime. But yeah, it's a super depressing song, so that pretty much sums it up for me.
I guess the first thing I thought of when I was thinking about it, I couldn't think of a video game song that quite captured the failure of that.
Mm-hmm.
I kept thinking to the Price of Right fail horn.
Yep. I love that. Oh, too bad, Laura.
Yep.
We'll be back after this announcement, right?
Yep.
I miss that guy.
Bob Barker.
Bob Barker with the long, skinny microphone.
Yep.
Keep your pets spayed or neutered. Bye-bye, everybody.
Yep.
Every show, right? Or have your pet spayed or neutered. Sorry.
Yeah, that's great. So many good moments there.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So it looks like that's the end of fan interaction. Yeah. The rest were like tagged, so I would you'd make sure I'd see them, and I appreciate that. Yep. So yeah, looks like that's pretty much a wrap, I'd have to say.
So. Yeah. Sorry for being so long-winded, folks.
Oh, no, it's okay. Yeah. Yeah. And,
it's my fault.
And we have a lot of fun. It's good information, you know. It's good information. That's what Marcus used to tell me. I'd be long-winded on the Timberwolves Explosion episodes at times. So in the past, or, you know, he would be, I would be back and forth kind of. But it was, it's good information, though. That's what's important, and that's what radio and podcasting is all about, honestly. It's to... In my opinion, good information, and we hope you enjoy it very much at the end of the day. With that said, help the algorithms with this show if you could. If you could possibly put a 5-star rating on the Apple Podcasts or Spotify, those are the two main ones. Any other apps that might allow you to do so, I think Stitcher used to, but they've ceased operations, and of course Google Podcast is about to disappear as well and turn into YouTube Music, which I've already made the transfer over, but Google Podcast is available for about 5 more days, April 2nd. The Google Podcast is disappearing, and then YouTube Music is there, and that's why I have the YouTube channel already existed, but now it's like everything now. It's a big boy. So it's got basically, the videos are basically podcast form, and I might do some videos. I'm not a huge video on the mic kind of guy, but maybe sometimes, and maybe someday, especially major events like the Gophers win a national championship or something. Something like that would be a nice way to celebrate, wouldn't it? So, or God knows, who knows, maybe I turn into that, because a lot of those YouTube channels have had some success. So good for those people at the end of the day. Yeah. With that said, though, I mean, it's been wonderful. I really appreciate having you on, Derek.
Well, thanks so much for having me on. And the other thing, again, I know I said this last time, but thanks for all your help and support.
Absolutely.
Getting the word out about our own podcast that, you know, Increase and Assist. And really just being a positive, you know, it's more than just that. You've talked about Minnesota Wild prospects. You've talked about, you know, Wild International. I mean, you've been a really good steward of the community, of the Wild, you know, I guess you wouldn't even want to call it the internet, kind of our own little sphere of Wild podcasts out there, and I think that's really great. And
thank you so much.
Again, thanks for all that you do to help continue to promote that.
Oh, thank you so much. And, yep, I mean, I feel the same about you also as well. Obviously, you know, getting that wealth of information out there about current players, future players, prospects, even diving into high school and college at times in the past. So, yeah, high school more so now. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, you do a wonderful job, and really appreciate the support as well. You've brought some nice contributors to the shows, met some nice people, and including yourself, and I really appreciate it.
Yeah, it's a small but fun world out there.
It really is, and that's what's great about the hockey fan world. It's different, you know, hockey fans, hockey media. It's a different community that is much more positive. That's why Brave the Wild, basically, it was, when I first created it, a tiny inside information, it was kind of like a shot in the dark, like throwing darts on the wall, like, can I do it? I don't know. And it stagnated forever. And then all of a sudden, once the hockey community started to come around, it's like, it's developed into a, you know, pretty solid show. So, and I, you know, really, really decent following, and I just appreciate it so much.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And I can, you know, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I can see, yeah, Increase Assist is already becoming that as well, very much so. Like, yeah, you've avoided those super down years that I started out with back in, like, 9, 10, 11, you know, those years.
Well, the thing is, I mean, I've had a lot of good examples to learn from, and I think that's been a lot of help, and you've been a ton of help in terms of getting things right. I mean, our first show, which really was pre-Joey help. Yikes.
PJ. Oh, no, PJ.
Yeah, it's horrible. Please don't listen to that. But after that, you know, I think we got things going. But again, you know, it really helps to have good examples to follow. And again, thank you so much for all that you've been willing to share with us in terms of, like, tips and tricks and stuff like that. It's definitely made it a lot more fun.
Oh, absolutely, and it's I'm honored to do so. Thank you so much. So with that said, I believe we're gonna call it a day. It's been again a great show. Appreciate it so much, and obviously check out the Crease and Assist podcast. Obviously hashtag Crease Assist, right? Crease and Assist.
Crease
sorry.
Podcast.
Yep, yep, and then, yeah.
Crease and then hashtag Crease Podcast.
Yep.
C-R-E-A-S-E podcast, yep.
Mm-hmm. Now way we can communicate and interact and listen to both of us, dang it. Don't
yeah,
just say one.
Why not?
Yeah, listen to both of us, you know, and then we'll, the more the merrier. And with that said, we're going to wish all of you a wonderful week. And obviously the Wild have a couple of games coming up, and we just wanted to talk mostly like kind of like a State of the Wild type of episode, like a pre-State of the Wild episode. And obviously, you know, sometimes previews are probably not necessarily the best thing all the time. It's good to venture off, and that's what we did today. Well, with that,
I think we all realize we're waiting in the waiting room at the hospital, and we know the news is not going to be good.
That's kind of the main reason. Yeah. It's like it's preseason, postseason. It's a different type of postseason. You know, where it's like preseason games all over again. So that's pretty. Or what do they call that? Postmortem wounds. There we go. I actually did a whole Timberwolves episode called that once, because they were.
We're waiting for the autopsy results.
Yep. Natural causes. Basically.
Yep.
This is natural causes. But with that said, let's get to tennis practice and as the head coach there. And I better get started on getting ready for our work. And just thank all of you for listening. And we'll talk to you in a week.
See ya.
See, I got to press that button. And...